or the
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Welcome, my friends. The global financial meltdown is intensifying as we track it day by day here. The zombie population doesn't even have the slightest inkling what's happening, though we are able to unlock some of the zombies out of the false realities they're living in, the false constructs that they have been captured by. But still, the enemy operations expand against humanity worldwide, with devastating results on the population. Their black op eugenics programs of extermination and planting the population with cancer viruses, blocking cancer treatment, carrying out aerial, chemical, biological, radiological spraying continues. Their intensified attacks are mainly focused in the third world and against government forces. Their own forces upon discharge, of course, are implanted with the pathogens to kill them. Of course, we had another medical doctor, Dr. Stan Montief, on yesterday reading all the declassified public documents where your government is murdering you, police and military. Of course, you're still living in the false paradigm. Most of you have been so programmed, you're unable to break out. You have been systematically programmed to be laughing right now. It is not funny. That's part of your programming. We hope that just as a challenge, you would check out our claims and find out you and your family are being soft-killed right now. Richard Cook, a former White House economic analyst, will be joining us coming up in 30 minutes. Then we have Bob Chapman joining us at 12:30 noon today, in an hour and a half for his daily visit during the meltdown. And then I'm going to get some into the esoteric agenda of the New World Order and their language, their ancient esoteric language that is all around us. That's how they all communicate with each other. They're all taught the language. And it is a code broken centuries ago and available to all of us, but the average person is not even aware of it. The Global Crime Syndicate has its own language. We'll be breaking that down with Freeman coming up today on the radio show for an hour and a half, the last hour and a half of the show in studio. That will be live on PrisonPlanet.tv for all PrisonPlanet.tv members. And for the listeners on the InfoWars audio streams, we'll be skipping some of the breaks for you there. So that is coming up today. In the news, bank run continues as failed IndyMac fails to deliver the money to their people. The people show up and say, okay, the feds have backed this bank. I'm here to get my money. And the police say, if you complain and yell, we will arrest you. And they say, come back tomorrow. Then you come back tomorrow. We're now 3 days into this, and they say no money. And that's what you're going to look forward to. You're not even going to get your $100,000 back in many cases. And if you complain about it, you will be tasered. And if that isn't enough for you, we'll just shoot you. And when the cops' family's homeless, too, they'll love it. And, you know, it's all part of it. It's all part of loving the private bankers. You know, I was thinking about it today. We've told you everything that was going to happen. I'm going to talk about that coming up. We just keep laying out everything that's going to happen. It just keeps happening. And I care about the police, but I'm just as disgusted with them as I am with the general public. It is just the mindlessness, the wanton ignorance. You're going to serve your masters. I know you are. And it isn't until you're old men, most of you, and old women, you'll cry your guts out seeing what fools you were. But at least then you'll realize that you were wrong, and that's what matters, isn't it? Repenting in the end is what matters. Changing your mind and your heart, even if it's at the very end, even it's when you're dying of cancer at 35 and you finally go research and find out that we told you the truth and had all the government documents. At least before you die, you can tell your children, your wife, and some of your buddies on the force that when they die, it's their government. It's their criminal owners. We're going to come back and cover the intensifying criminal activity when we get back. I'm Alex Jones, 110% committed.
more of the
Rex of Political Talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
This morning, driving in to the office, I was thinking about all the hundreds of things we've talked about that have come true and happened. I went on air and I said the government and criminal elements of it are going to attack the World Trade Centers because I knew they'd bombed it before. By the way, that's publicly admitted, but the average person still doesn't know that. The 93 event is open and shut. CBS News, New York Times. Yeah, the feds created the group, cooked the bomb, gave them the detonator, and commanded the whole operation. But that was provocateur. But I'm already digressing. You see, I try to just be, you know, give you basic info, and then I tend to zoom in on each little point and document it. But we talked about how they were going to attack the World Trade Center, blame it on their asset of Osama bin Laden. It happened. I said it'll happen in the next few months. It happened. I talked about how in Seattle they were going to use federalized riot police to attack the people, that they would have agent provocateurs there, because I'd seen the media prepping the public for that to happen. And we told you you'd see bank runs. We told you you'd see a devaluing dollar. We told you gas would be $4 a gallon by the summer of 08. We told you that in the late spring of 06, two-plus years before it happened. We told you they wouldn't attack Iraq in March of 02. It would be March of 03. They attacked exactly when we said a year before. We predicted a year before exactly when it would happen. We have basically laid out everything that's going to happen, everything that's going to develop. Of course, we've broken down the fact that it will go from 1 in 33 with cancer to 1 in 3, and then 1 in 2, and then everyone having it, basically. And now they're preparing to announce that 1 in 2 will now be getting it. They've gone from 1 in several thousand getting diabetes to now 1 in 5, some races of groups, 1 in 2. These are all genetically engineered bioweapon plagues with chemical combos, and we have all the documents and all the facts, and the CIA and the Centers for Disease Control and the Navy and the United Nations, World Health Organization, they've been caught all over the world doing it, and all these prominent scientists and doctors and Nobel Prize winners blow the whistle, and it might make it in a foreign newspaper. Eyewitnesses come out and blow the whistle, only to be murdered months later, tortured to death. And then it's a minor footnote. The media never points out, oh, they exposed this government program and were murdered. It's just, oh, they got tortured to death by some kids. The police came. They were cut up and splattered all over the walls. Looked like they'd been tortured for days. It's no big. It's some kids, the police say. Some young kids probably did it. Yeah. Over and over again, a message to everybody, keep your mouth shut. And I scan around maybe an hour a day looking at what people are saying, and I look on our message boards, I look on the YouTube channels, I scan, reading fast, and the debunking sites. And the latest thing is that they're saying the dollar is not devalued, prices are not up, they're all saying it in unison, the CENTCOM boys, their minions, their mockingbirds, their weak-minded camp followers. They're saying the government doesn't take children and radiate them, or doesn't test pesticides on CPS, kidnap kids. Doesn't matter if it's in thousands of news articles, or the variant is they're joking about it. The new thing is, I guess to keep their morale up, is, yeah, we're killing kids. So what? We're going to kill you too. They're also all over the message boards. You can track them back by their handles to their MySpaces. They're in uniforms. You'll see them bragging in their uniform with their PSYOP patch, and they're just letting everybody know who they are, and we're going to work on some articles showing all this. We're getting snapshots of them and things. And they're just on there saying, yeah, and they're coming on our message boards now saying, yeah, we built camps and we're going to kill you. And, yeah, we're testing stuff on kids. We need to. We are the dark side, and that's the end of it. Don't you understand, you fools, that your masters will destroy you as well? Don't you understand evil's not funny or tough or manly? Don't you understand it doesn't intimidate us, those of us on the side of the goodness and the side of light, those of us working in the light? It only makes us sad for you that you were overtaken and captured by the dark side and have been lost. It only reaffirms our courage and our will 100%. And I know what the term now means, 110%. I'd joke about it when I played football and would laugh at the coaches. 110% means you're so dedicated, you're burning with desire, and you can't even fathom the will and the commitment. It means you want to give more than you've got, and you're disgusted with yourself for not being able to perform at the levels you need to against the enemy. That's what 110% is, ladies and gentlemen. And I just feel sorry for all of you. And there's different categories. There's the mindless, dumbed-down people who believe that mom and apple pie is what the government is and are so weak-minded that they can't admit to themselves what's happening. Then you've got some of the more intelligence types, who just convince themselves with doublethink because it's too horrifying for them, and they rationalize, and yeah, we're not perfect, but you know what, we're the only government there is, and we've just got to keep going and following our orders, and they kind of just shut off the thinking process. But then you've got the psychopath types who enjoy being sadistic, who love power, who only worship the tyranny above them, and who are scared of their masters and so enthusiastically serve and then carry out tyranny against those under them. And there's other types as well, but the most dangerous type is a very pious, very focused, again, pious on the surface, who really is, I don't know what you call it. I've run into them. I've read their writings. I've seen interviews with, you know, top globalists. They're very focused. They're very professional. They're very serious. And they are very cold. And they say, look, if we don't exterminate the mass of humanity, and if we don't be the most evil force there is on Earth and dominate and take control and be totally merciless, we will end up being dominated by some other group. And we don't know what that other dominant group will do. And we have the will to protect ourselves and our family, our houses. They call their organizations houses. It's the old royal term. And there's less than 50 main houses. And they cold-bloodedly are in alliance, intermarried, and they say, look, this is too incredible. We're on a planet, and we've got all this advanced technology. We could extend our lives almost indefinitely. We are threatened by a mass of humanity, a new elites that may rise and defeat us militarily. And in cold-bloodedly, we don't want to die. We want to see the new advanced technologies. We want to be part of the future. And it's too important for us selfishly to have a total lock on the future and a monopoly of power and a guarantee that we get life extension and a guarantee that we get to go to the stars and a guarantee that we get to go to the next level of human development. And because the mass of 6 billion people and other elites that still exist at a lower level threaten us, we are going to cold-bloodedly set up a computer scanning, tracking control grid on a planetary scale. We are going to put in a military world government, and then we are going to orderly sterilize and exterminate the mass of humanity, and only a few hundred thousand of us, because they tell their minions they're only going to kill 80 to 90%, but you really read the higher level think tank documents, the higher level professors who are managing large sectors of this, and they say that there's going to be a 99.99% extermination. But they can't tell their minions, because a lot of people have been let in on this, that it's going to happen to them too. Now, I don't know if they're going to be able to carry it out. I don't know if it's going to work, but it looks like it is. And then every day, I am crushed every night when I go to bed. I went to bed about 11 o'clock last night, which is early for me. And I laid there for about 30 minutes in bed with the light, the starlight shining through the windows, and I was looking at the wall, and I thought, my God, I'm the biggest thing fighting this individually. I am the most focused, the most articulate Alex Jones. I mean, I thought about the magnitude of that, the responsibility of that, and I am a sputtering, babbling hillbilly who walks almost hunched over. And I'm the best we've got against these people. Now, I am smart. I can analyze systems and integrate them. You know, I kind of have some idiot savant characteristics. But when it comes to actually leading or trying to organize things, it scares the daylights out of me. And by scared in the right word, it shakes me. It upsets me that I'm the best there is, and that my listeners are the best there is. I mean, you're great compared to other people, but I'm telling you, folks, we're all pathetic. We're all weak and decadent. We were brought up in a decadent system. We were brought up in a scientific dictatorship. We were fed false terms and semantics. And we have to really shake ourselves to our core and really be reborn into a greater understanding. And I don't even mean that in a spiritual sense, but that when you come down to it, that really is what it is. But I mean just like shake yourself and dunk your head in some ice water and look around you. I mean, I want to tell the military and special ops and people, this is the ultimate battle. This is the ultimate war. Whether you believe me or not, whether you join our side, the ragtag little remnants of what's left of free humanity that can only freely think at a degraded level, poisoned as we are. I mean, I say to you, whether you know you're under attack or not, whether you know you're in the same ship with us, the same boat as us, you are. You're sitting in the same tree with us. You've drawn the same lot as everybody else around you. And the ultimate battle is the information war, and you better look around you and realize you've been fed disinfo, you've been fed false ideas, you've been fed false paradigms, fables. As Dr. Doug Rocky and so many others have said, they finally just wake up. When there he was training troops for martial law in the mid-90s, and he's like, why am I here? Why? It was like suddenly he like was woke up out of a dream. He's like, my God, I'm here training to take American people's guns. I mean, it just like we had Major General Stubblebine on, who was the head of Army Intelligence and all those black op programs, the head of Special Forces. And finally, he just assessed the info and said, my God, it's a global extermination plan. Then he went and found that all the documents did say that. I mean, this is real, ladies and gentlemen. This is real. It's more real than I can articulate. You understand? We're in iron jaws right now.
The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see. A woman and the kids and the dogs and
let me try to boil this down as simply as possible.
I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy.
When you're driving along through traffic in your town,
country folks can survive.
Look at the people around you. They're looking straight ahead. They don't question how that highway got laid down. They don't question how power is brought to those light poles or the red lights, the traffic lights. They don't question how the police are commanded or how that echelon operates. They don't question the planet they live on. They don't question where food comes from at the grocery store. They just go into their little specialized job and then go home and watch entertainment and play video games or have sex or take drugs and then get up the next day. And they don't care about their neighbor. They've been trained to be isolated, not just selfish, but isolated individuals who only interface with their sitcoms or with their movies or maybe their buddies at the bar twice a week. But even then, their discussion is guided by the sports that are on the big screen TVs. And so our culture is dominated and steered by individuals who, when you read the books that they've written for each other, when you look at the ideologies of those that steer and control the media, it isn't liberal or conservative. It isn't black or white. It is, we are the private central banking families. We've taken control of the world's banks 100 years ago, and they say we want a scientific dictatorship that can never be overthrown. And they went to the top scientists in Germany and England and the U.S., and they said, tell us, and Russia, Pavlov and others, how do we do it? And they all came back with reports, and they still have every major psychology department working on different pieces of it today. 90% of the UT psychology department, 2 miles from where I sit, is all Pentagon DARPA. Whole floors, when I was there a few years ago, were just how to flicker a TV rate to mesmerize you, and that was the areas that were declassified that I was allowed into. One research facility, one wing, one university. The whole thing was mind control. And again, that's only one small facet of it. When you're watching CNN or Fox, do you notice that suddenly all your troubles are off your mind, even if it's horrible things are happening on television? Suddenly you catch yourself with your mouth hanging open? I was watching the Jesse Ventura announcement a couple nights ago on this Monday night. So we turned the television on, children were asleep. And I caught myself in 5 minutes just totally zoned out. And it was relaxing. I wasn't at this heightened level of mental activity and awareness, which is invigorating, but you're at this level all the time. It gets exhausting. And I caught myself just watching Anderson Cooper. And why? They had one screen at an angle with stuff moving on it and letters and words and video. They had five or six other video screens in the back. They had video scrolling at the bottom. They had mist with subliminals, which they admit they're doing, all over the screen. And that's one type of mind control. There were scores at work there. And in the video field, there were all those screens, and that's 30, 40-year-old technology when they had it down pat, because your mind, your conscious mind, can't lock in on more than one television screen. Well, they, you know, one thing happening. Let's say you see a cheetah chasing a gazelle in one of the screens, you'll tend to hone in on the one you want to look at, but your brain is taking it all in. The other seven screens, not counting the big screen that has Anderson Cooper standing in front of it. And so it is a scientific fact. Your conscious mind, your discernment, within seconds is shut off. Within seconds, your discernment is shut off. And you are just accepting and absorbing everything it tells you. An example, my uncle was here during the holidays, and he doesn't watch a lot of TV, but he likes to watch college football. And I'm sitting there, and I go, don't you see that on the screen? Don't you see that for about a half a second, they are flashing an advertisement? This was public. I forget what game it was. He goes, I don't see it. And I said, you're relaxed in your chair. I said, get up, shake your head, focus. I go, they're doing it once a minute. And it was hard for me. I had to stay totally focused. And he finally, after about 5 minutes, goes, oh, I just saw it. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. It was just there. I mean, they've got you so mesmerized, folks. You're not even seeing half-second subliminals now. You understand? And that was just advertising. You see? Now that's only one millionth of everything that's going on, but I just told you.
Or the...
Make no mistake, this is the fight for humanity, for liberty and freedom.
We've got a long way to go, and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound, just like no bandit run. Keep your foot hard on the pedal, son, never mind them brakes. Let it all hang out, cause we got a run to make. The boys are thirsty in Atlanta, and there's beer in Texarkana, and we'll bring it back no matter what it takes. They say can't be done. We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound, just watch old bandit run.
Old Smokey's got his ears on and he's hot on your trail. And he ain't gonna rest till you're in jail. But old Smokey doesn't know he's not part of the establishment either. In fact, he's despised by the New World Order. That's a question, Smokey. You're going to realize that you're either with the American people and liberty and freedom, or you are with the terrorists. We'll be talking to our guest, Richard C. Cook, here in just a moment. Be sure and check out the new PrisonPlanet.com, but if you like the old one, just go to classic.prisonplanet.com, and it's all there for you, the old site.
He's bound to die. Are we gonna do what they say can't be done? We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound, just watch old bandit run. Old Smokey's got them ears on, he's hot on your trail, and he ain't gonna rest till you're in jail. So you got to dodge him, you got to duck him, you gotta keep that diesel trucking.
Just put that hammer down and give it hell.
I've got quite a few videos that we can play the audio of here, but I'm sure you've all seen it. It's not just IndyMac, though. There have been runs on banks all over the West Coast. Some of them have been running out of money, but then they direct people to other branches, and then they've been able to keep supplying the money. But at IndyMac, they can't do it. It's billions of dollars, even in cash assets, that people are unable to get out in their life savings. And there's video of the police saying, don't yell, don't scream, come back tomorrow. And they have the letters in their hands saying, no, I was here last Friday, I was here Monday, I was here Tuesday. And they just say, hey, go. Even some of them showing up are off-duty police. That means nothing. Look, the money isn't there. The banks have just a few percentages, just a few percentage points of actual cash in their vaults compared to the digital dollars that are there. This is all being done by design to implode the economy, to consolidate your wealth. This is neo-feudalism. We have the IMF World Bank documents that were leaked in 2002. I have been warning you weekly and now the last year daily that this is their plan and that political will to inform the public of how this is by design may allow us to put in policies that will reverse this. And whether it's the head of the New York Business School or Joseph Stiglitz, former chief economist, World Bank, or whether it's Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, the father of Reaganomics, or whether it's one of the biggest and most successful newsletter guys out there in history, Bob Chapman, or Richard C. Cook, who's written for the Washington Post and all these other big publications, consulted for NASA, Space and Security News, Washington Monthly, Houston Post, of course, worked in the Treasury, a high-level policy and analyst, advising the White House, you name it. He's saying the same thing. We're going to get his analysis right now, and he writes for Global Research. He writes for a lot of other fine publications and has his own website, of course, that we'll tell you about. But I want to get him on for the next hour. Then Bob Chapman joins us as this crisis speeds up even faster than I had thought it would. Mr. Cook, thank you for coming on with us.
Morning, Alex.
Can you break down, I know you go over the history of banking and the last time you were on with us and who these elites are, but today I'd like you to break down your forecast of what you previously said, meshing with what we're now witnessing. It looks like a carbon copy. And then where you see things going in the short term and the midterm and the long term, sir.
Well, what we're seeing is the ongoing collapse of the United States economy. It really began this phase last summer, late last summer, almost a year ago, with the beginning of the big financial institutions, particularly the investment banks, being hit by the subprime mortgage crisis and beginning to lose their solvency. The banking directors at the Federal Reserve and the other international bankers out of Europe and the central banks in other countries began to pump what they call liquidity into these institutions. And as we know, beginning a few months ago, the Federal Reserve opened its discount window in New York, not just to the commercial banks, the traditional commercial banks, but also to the investment banks that were so heavily leveraged through the subprime securities that they were holding. Now, all of that has pretty much run its course, and we're now seeing the crisis extending into the producing economy. We're seeing huge layoffs at the financial institutions, at the investment banks. We saw just recently this huge downsizing plan coming through from General Motors. We're seeing continued outsourcing of U.S. jobs. We're seeing the sale of more and more U.S. businesses to foreigners, including the recent sale of Anheuser-Busch. And so what we are now beginning to witness is not just the collapse of the financial economy, but the domino effect where that begins to roll over into the producing economy of men and women who go to work every day. Their banks are now seizing up. And so it's really the beginning of the phase where everyday life starts to be affected much more than it has in the past. The unemployment figures are going to keep going up. People are going to lose their jobs. Foreclosures are going to continue. So we're really entering the phase that's most similar to what we saw in the Great Recession of 1979 to 83, which was the Paul Volcker-induced recession, which was the worst one since the Great Depression. And then before too long, it does look as though we're going to be starting to get into Great Depression territory.
So we're now beginning the wasting, like someone in a lifeboat who hasn't eaten for a week. The body is now eating muscle.
Yes, that's a good analogy.
The neocons are all over talk radio running around saying it's a conspiracy theory, the dollar is strong, all is well, and calling us communist. I mean, it is unbelievable how delusional their camp followers are.
Well, I think we have to realize that the neocons, so-called, this includes the whole party that began the Iraq War, the current Iraq War, and which has pretty much been the war party that has driven us to this hugely expensive conflict in the Middle East. They don't really work for the United States. This group really works for the international bankers, the financial elite that straddles all of the nations of the world and who control the monetary systems of all nations, including the United States. And what I believe, Alex, is that what they are really trying to do is to use the financial crisis to drive us into an escalated war in the Middle East. I think this is really the connection between what we're seeing in the financial world and what's going on overseas. They're a part and parcel of the same policy.
Well, sir, I want to look at the big
neocons who are driving this.
Sure, sure. And I'm going to give you the floor here because I want you to walk through your analysis, because I like to get the people on who predicted what's going to happen accurately. You've been doing that for many years now. And it meshes, dovetails with the other analysts we're having on, but not just as a choir. You're all seeing a little bit different here, seeing different perspectives from your knowledge base, from your research, and being an analyst, you know, with NASA and, of course, in the Treasury Department and many other areas, you've got your own unique perspective. When I see the IMF World Bank plan saying they wanted to gut the U.S. like a third world country by issuing us credit, we know it's predatory. Then you see them writing some, you know, things in the Times of London, Financial Times, saying this is even so bad it may destroy us. They act like they're scared. Have they created something that may actually suck them into their own black hole? I want to get your take on that. I mean, basically, what led us to this? Is it by design? Are they in control of it? Where do you see it going? Is this meant to, I mean, obviously, Congress is even saying the Anheuser-Busch deal is because we're like a third world country with a devalued currency. They can come in and buy it. I mean, another example. But, I mean, basically, you see those different questions I've thrown out. I want to look at why you think they've engineered this, or do you think they've lost control?
Well, you know, I'm an historian. I taught history, and I write from a historical perspective. In fact, some people complain that my articles are too long because I always go back into history. But you really have to do that to understand what's going on, because if people believe that what we're seeing is just a few stupid mistakes that were made, you know, maybe by Alan Greenspan or somebody like that, and what the Federal Reserve really should do is just let the collapse take place and sit tight on high interest rates, well, that's absurd, because this situation has been developing really for a very long time. I think you have to understand, you know, the people who are learning about this, that you've got two things that have been going on hand in hand really for the last, ever since America was founded. One, you have the Industrial Revolution. You have the application of science and technology to production, which has vastly increased the wealth of the world and the productive capability of the world, along with the population, and has allowed a gradual increase in the standard of living decades and decades and generation after generation. Going hand in hand with that, you've had the growth of the private financial industry, which has, from one point of view, fed the capital into the industrial system to allow it to grow, but on the other hand has been sitting on top of this, raking the profits off of it however they see fit. And that is what is really going on. What we're seeing is a very late phase of the harnessing of industrial potential by the financial elite, the usurers, the financial predators who work internationally and across borders. And they have taken down, if you really look at the history of the last century, and we're in really what you could call a 100 years war if you go back to World War One. They have taken down successfully every nation that has tried to use its own resources, its own population, its own initiative, and its own wealth to create a positive, enduring standard of living for its own population. The financial elite of the world has taken down every nation that's attempted to do that, starting with World War One, Germany, Austria-Hungary, Russia, the Ottoman Empire were all destroyed.
And let me just add, and then go back to World War One.
Mm-hmm.
Club of Rome, CFR, Rand Corporation, which you've obviously read, sir, but for the audience, now they say, you're right, they want to fully absorb the Industrial Revolution, shut it down under bogus carbon tax controls, and bring in a global neo-feudalism game over because they want a monopoly of power, and they've gone to their scientist and behavioral psychologist and said 100 years ago, how do we create an elite that is invincible, a revolution that is final? And they said, this is how you do it, what you are now describing.
Yeah, that's correct. And if you go on in history and you look at World War II, which was fought and won supposedly by the Allies, World War II really destroyed both the French and the British empires. It destroyed the Italian empire, and it left standing only two nations. One was the Soviet Union, and one was the United States. Well, the Soviet Union was undermined and collapsed in 1991. That left the only nation that was really flourishing in its own right, the United States, the only nation that had the potential to oppose the international elite, the international financial capitalists who wanted to take over every nation, and now it's the United States' turn. We are the last nation standing as a truly independent, free, powerful nation, at least we were. And now we are under attack, and it's the United States that's being taken down, and we're being taken down very rapidly.
Richard C. Cook.
This is not something that's out of control. This is something that was planned and is under control.
I've never heard it put more succinctly or better. They admit all of it. I know this is hard to deal with, ladies and gentlemen, but the globalist, under Lord Milner's direction and planning, openly wrote and said, we have to go in and destroy any nation that can stand before us. The World Population Study, the Commission on Population 44 to 49 by the British government had the same findings and said that they even have to sacrifice their empire for this larger empire, this hegemonic system of the banks. And Lord Milner by the 20s described a Hitler type to build him up, pick his psychology, let him tear everything up to destroy Europe. I mean, it's the same thing. They knocked out the czars by big banks funding, sending in the Bolsheviks. They are here to now give the U.S. the treatment that Germany and Russia have gotten, or the reorganization we saw with the CIA funding Mao. We are now about to be reorganized, and that means tens of millions murdered, death camps, if they have their way. Now, folks, this is going to happen. Now, that's my analysis, Mr. Cook.
Yes, that does appear to be the direction that it's going in, and the way that it's being done is through the use of banking and debt. And the United States has, in a way, been set up for this because we have had, since our founding, a bank-based monetary system where the only way that money is introduced into circulation is through bank lending. And gradually, the buildup of that has created a situation where today we have, with a gross domestic product of approximately $13 trillion, a total debt burden that our economy is carrying that we estimate by the year 2010 is probably going to hit $70 trillion. And it's a result of the phenomenon of compounding interest. And, of course, compounding interest is that which is held by the banks and the people who are the owners and stockholders in the banks. But, again, it's necessary to realize, as people are coming to do, that the banks are not really controlled within a nation. They're controlled at an international level.
He writes for the Washington Post, Houston Post, consults for NASA, worked at the highest levels of policy in the Department of Treasury, advising the White House. He's Richard C. Cook. We're going to come back and tell you about his website and a lot more and let him continue to break down what's happening. I know it's bad, but at least you know now.
Question: is the world getting better?
Or the private banks took control of our nations. The few rogue countries are nations that aren't controlled by them, Serbia, Iraq. You notice they're being taken over, being overthrown, being bombarded. But the big prize, the wars that are meant to destroy our treasury and our name and our dollar, is about making the U.S. the target. I hate to use a child's analogy, but that seems to get through to some people. Remember in the final Star Wars episode, Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith, you've got the senator who uses staged attacks to get more power. Then he becomes emperor by attacking himself. Okay? Well, that's because George Lucas is even giving interviews. He wrote that off of history, what other empires have done, what Caesar did. Okay? This is the type of thing that happens over and over again. You are the target. And why have they militarized the police? Why are they telling them that we have no rights? Why are they building FEMA camps? Because they're taking the country down. Mr. Cook, again, written for the Washington Post and many other big publications, financial analyst, analyzed things for the federal government, Department of the Treasury, and NASA. Continue, sir, breaking down now what they're doing. Is it going well for them? How do we fight back?
Well, would it be okay if I mention my website
at
this point, Alex? My website is www.richardccook.com. And the main thing that's on there now is my book on the Challenger disaster called Challenger Revealed. But I have a new book coming out this fall, which is called We Hold These Truths, The Hope of Monetary Reform, which is my book on monetary policy and monetary issues. And that will be also advertised on my website.
Well, we've got 30 more minutes. We've got 30 more minutes with you, I believe. So we'll go through that book that's coming out. And I certainly want to have you on when that happens. But give the website out again.
It's www.richardccook.com.
Okay, we've gotten up to the point. Recap, because I interrupted a few times. Recap, this is by design. Their own documents say it. And then where it's going.
Well, let's go to the year 1971, because the current phase that we're seeing is really a result of actions that began during that decade, and in my latest article that's come out, I refer to what I call the three amigos, trying to have a little bit of tongue-in-cheek there. The three amigos I call Henry Kissinger, Paul Volcker, and Alan Greenspan. Kissinger, while Nixon's Secretary of State, was the one who really made the U.S. dependent on the Middle East for oil, who gave billions of dollars to Israel for its war machine, and created the petrodollar to support our trade and fiscal deficits. And that's really when the current hyperinflation of the U.S. dollar began and the erosion of the U.S. dollar, when all of that money began to flow over to the Middle East to be used by Saudi Arabia to then come back and buy United States debt because Treasury at that time was starting to run such huge deficits. So we were already set up at that time in a very precarious position. Then Volcker, when he was chairman of the Federal Reserve, crashed the U.S. producing economy deliberately in the recession of 1979 and 1983. And that's what began the destruction of our industrial base. And that, again, was a planned destruction. And it gave us what we have today, which is called the service economy. Then, when Alan Greenspan became chairman of the Federal Reserve, he began to produce these huge financial bubbles because he couldn't do anything to reverse the decline of the economy because they were not about to restore our industry. So what they began to do was create this massive official fraud in home mortgage lending that began early in George W. Bush's presidency around the year 2001, 2002.
We've got a break. And then that was, everybody was told, go ahead and engage in fraud, get the suckers on the line. When we come back, we're going to get into the current situation and where Mr. Cook sees it going. Second hour, straight ahead, PrisonPlanet.com.
Or the Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
You know, man, I may get Richard C. Cook to hold over a little bit in the next half hour after this one when Bob Chapman's on with us, but we'll see. We're covering what's happening with the economy. I've got a lot of military news, police state news. Also, the new environmental tyranny they're bringing in, news and information. That's their next big bubble or control system where we'll buy our carbon creds from the private central banks. And meanwhile, all the real environmental degradation will just continue unabated. It's the new religion, though. But going back to Richard C. Cook, you were getting into now the 1990s with Alan Greenspan and the mortgage fraud. They also loosened up the other fractional reserve banking rules, allowed the three types of banks to intermingle. Take us from there, sir.
Well, what happened with the financial deregulation that really began in the 70s and picked up speed with Reagan and then under Clinton in the 1990s was essentially turning over the entire producing economy to the financial industry. There had been all kinds of fences built around the banking system up until then because the system we inherited from the New Deal coming out of the World War II era was a very tightly regulated banking system. Those regulations were removed, and the system was turned over to the banks so that the banks are the ones who now run the economy. But again, it's really important for people to understand, when you're talking about the banks, you're not just talking about United States financial institutions. The U.S. banking system is a web that is tightly interwoven with the international banking system that is run outside of the United States. The United States does not make its own financial decisions, and because of that, we do not make our own economic and industrial decisions.
And that's the globalist model. That's the new world. When they talk about interdependence, that means taking control of our lives away. That's why you can have 90% of Americans on every issue against the government, and the government just points at its militarized police force and says, you don't run this country anymore, and it's because we've been hijacked. And to be clear here, the private banks have now looted us. You give them unlimited power, they're going to rob you blind. And now they need a police state to make sure we don't get control of the government again so they can't be punished.
Now, the next thing that I think we all really have to understand is the role that is played in all of this by war. A war is a contrived event. A war is not something that just happens. It's made by decision. People make those decisions, and they make those decisions for reasons that they do not tell you about.
And George Bush didn't make that decision. They knew it would be unpopular. They're going to put it all on him. He'll go retire in Dallas, and then they give us new birdcage liner.
That's correct. Now, again, if you go back in history over the last century, you see the critical role played by the big wars, what Patrick Buchanan in his new book, which I've been reading, calls the unnecessary wars. The purpose of those wars is to take down the nation states that are furthest ahead in establishing their own independence and their own national economic power. So World War One, you got rid of Germany. You got rid of Austria-Hungary. World War Two, Britain came out of that without its empire, and so did France. Now what they're trying to do is to foment another world war, because there are two nations left standing. One is the United States, of course. The other one is Russia, because even though the Soviet Union collapsed in 1991, Russia is an inherently extremely powerful and advanced nation, both technologically, economically, in terms of resources, and Russia has come back very, very strongly. And if you read the Financier Press...
Mr. Cook, stay there. Long segment, plenty of time to lay all this out when we get back. Just amazing overview we're getting here. I hope you appreciate the level of knowledge Mr. Cook has and how blessed we are to have him.
Or the Patriot Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Mr. Cook, Richard C. Cook, has written for some of the biggest publications in the country. He's written for the Washington Post, Space and Security News, the Houston Post. He was on the Presidential Commission to study many different areas. If I tried to go over his whole bio, it would blow our time. He, of course, was one of the senior analysts at the Department of the Treasury, and he is a syndicated columnist, an author. And we'll tell you about his website again before he leaves us. But if you can, sir, some stations carry the last 3 hours, not the first hour. Briefly recap how this is by design, predatory, with the global banks above and outside all the nations, wanting to implode the nation states and then put in an international order controlled by their financial control, with rapid reaction military forces through NATO, the UN, and other mercenary forces to enforce their will. And then bring us back up to where we were in the 90s and then into the current situation briefly, and then where we're going in the future.
Well, again, side by side with the development of the modern industrial economies, which we've seen over the last really couple hundred years, has been the growth of the private financial industry, which gradually has gained control of all of the economies of the world, particularly since the period beginning around the early 1900s with World War One, and it was really the financial elite that maneuvered the world into the series of wars that have taken place in the 20th century in order to take down any national economy that asserted itself as being independent of international finance. So we've seen the destruction of the Germans, of the Italians, later on in the 20th century when Britain was lured into World War II. The British Empire collapsed, the French Empire collapsed, and it left the United States and Russia as the two standing nationalist powers, so-called superpowers. The Soviet Union collapsed in 91. It's now coming back, and the United States really is the only remaining nation that has had the sense of national identity, the economic strength to oppose the bankers. But since the 1970s, through deregulation, through buying off of politicians, through the what I call the policies of the three amigos, the Kissingers, the Volckers, the Greenspans, creating all of these financial bubbles, running up huge amounts of debt, exporting United States jobs and industries overseas, now the United States itself is threatened with its very existence. And the way that the financial elite has traditionally sought to take down nations has been through warfare. And right now, we are being driven into a very precarious situation that very well could lead to World War III. And that would be a war between the United States on one side and Russia, probably China on the other side, where the last powerful national economies would be totally destroyed, and the international financiers could move in at that point and establish their one world headquarters, as it were, and control everything through the power of debt and the power of money.
Now stay there, stay there. For listeners that just joined us, this is not some wild flight of imagination. This is all in hundreds of think tank documents. We've read them here. I've made films. We've written books. We've had endless guests on covering it. Top guests, you know, heads of business schools, Nobel Prize winners. This is what is being engineered. And this goes for every military man, every police officer. It's us against them. And they stage terror attacks to try to get you to, as Zbigniew Brzezinski said in The Grand Chessboard and in his new book, to get you to rally around their international elite and so they can carry out their policies that are really directed against you. They primitively give you a perceived threat to your tribe, use your nationalism that's healthy, but a false nationalism so they can then direct you in wars that actually destroy your treasury further in debt to them, destroy our name worldwide. I mean, you'll see Rupert Murdoch in newspapers he owns demonizing us overseas and then saying we're good over here. This is all totally cold-blooded. These guys are very scientific, and they do whatever it is that helps their interest. And then down to the local level, the big central banks come in to smart growth conferences, education conferences, and they say, we'll give you unlimited funding, unlimited positions, jobs with us after you leave, city managers, you know, right down to water district heads. Bribery is now legal and public. Right down to dumbing kids down. How many CPS kids have to be taken? The banks literally run and own the whole show. And what Mr. Cook is telling you is they are the authors and the executors of everything you've seen and everything you're going to see. Do you agree with that, Mr. Cook?
Well, yes, that's true. And what is happening today is with the financial collapse, they're going to attempt to persuade us to escape from our domestic financial problems by engaging in more warfare overseas. And you can see this very, very clearly, for example, in the presidential campaign of John McCain. One of the things that McCain has called for very recently was to expel Russia from the G8. He is engaged in the same demonization of Russia that the financial press has been engaged in over the last several years. If you read, for example, the daily news reports on Russia by the Washington Post,
unbelievable,
you see over and over again attacks on Putin, attacks on Russia, because Putin threw out the financial oligarchs who tried to take over Russia in the 1990s after the fall of the Soviet Union when Boris Yeltsin was president.
Let me just throw this in and then continue for those that, again, are joining us. You're not even mentioning all the covert operations, and I hate to even say the U.S., our captured military that's being used and abused. And I mean, notice how the globalist, the New World Order, is using 4 or 5 tours, breaking the military, not caring. I mean, they, just because they're done with us. This is the final deal. They're squeezing the last drops of blood out of us, running covert operations, military operations against Russian interest, overthrowing countries on their border and traditional satellites of Mother Russia, moving missiles and, you better believe, nukes in. Can you speak to this incredible provocation?
Well, yes, that's been going on now for a decade. And one interesting thing that I noticed as I watched the presidential campaign is how Obama is now moving more and more toward the Bush positions, where he's backing off on his calls to get out of Iraq. He is putting out these provocations against Iran, against Pakistan.
Again, that's the same play that the Democrats use to get into Congress.
That's exactly right. And you see the Democratic-controlled Congress under Nancy Pelosi continuing to issue the blank checks, not only for the war in Iraq, but most recently the Iran war resolution. So the entire power structure of the two major parties, along with Bush and the neocons, are all marching in lockstep now toward World War III. And this is really the event that is intended to complete the power play by the international financial elite to gain the control that they seek to gain and to get rid of the last remaining strong nations of the world, which are the United States, Russia, and perhaps even coming along China and India.
Okay, Mr. Cook, I want to, and then they've got Pakistan threatening India. The U.S. helps give them nukes, just, and then freaks out with Iran, who is nowhere near one. I mean, anyone who had any geopolitical grasp would know how ridiculous what they tell the public is. Meanwhile, they're attacking Iran using real Wahhabi al-Qaeda, the White House publicly funding them $400 million a year, then saying Iran's al-Qaeda when they're the opposite Muslim group, the Shiites. Now, we add to all of this fact that, well, before I get into that, let's get now into where we currently are.
Well, right now we're on the very brink of a complete financial collapse that's going to begin to roll out into unemployment, a continued closing down of United States manufacturing facilities. And we're going to have a population that is in danger of losing their livelihoods, not just their homes, but their ability to produce any kind of income. And what we have in the United States financially, and now and then you'll hear people mention this in kind of an offhanded way. They'll say, well, people just don't have any money. Well, let's think about that. That's a fact. What is most lacking in the United States economy is purchasing power. People don't have the money, and they haven't had the money really for the last 10, 15, 20 years, because what we've done not having the money is borrow.
And let's be clear, currency's being created, but that currency's only being created to pay the bankers the fraudulent debt they created through their Federal Reserve system.
Well, all that currency is really is more big loans from the Federal Reserve.
Yes.
It's just rolling over of loans. That type of lending and that type of bailout
doesn't go to us.
Does not create any wealth. It does not create anything tangible of value. It's just refinancing bankrupt institutions. So, yeah, you're right. So it does not go down to the working people. That, you know, trickle-down economics, which is the essence of Reaganomics, which came in the 1980s, was supposed to result in money from greater investment in production going down to the working people who have jobs, but they left out one thing. What they left out was that there's no way to get purchasing power to those people if their own incomes don't go up, and if their jobs are exported overseas to places like China. So
well, that's what Roberts, the father of that, says every week here. That's the problem is that we've moved our industry off, so there's no real customers because they don't have money, just as you just said, which was the globalist plan. Stay with us. Richard C. Cook is our guest, written for the Washington Post, you name it, advised the White House, NASA, high-level analyst, Department of the Treasury. Mr. Cook, I see the solution to this is get the word out about the private banking system now. That's why Ron Paul's been so great. Expose the Federal Reserve's private, expose what they're trying to do and get people in the streets and speaking out. I want to hear some ideas you've got on solutions, getting the word out, but then also financially. But then if we aren't able to avert this, where you see it going in the next few years, how you see it unfolding? I mean, well, let's answer that first. How fast do you see this really getting bad, or is this a long, slow wasting?
No, I think we're within the next 1 to 2 years, we're going to be at a critical point. And the real danger, as I've been trying to tell people, is that the economic collapse could be used as the excuse for a rush into a world war. My own belief is that a vote for John McCain or whoever else the Republicans are going to run is really a vote for World War III. I know that's a pretty strong statement to make, but I truly believe that. I haven't yet quite figured out Barack Obama, but as I said, he certainly seems to be moving toward a confluence with the Bush war policy. So that, to me, is the real danger. Now, as to solutions for this, the solution is a strong national economy. neither of the major political parties are saying or doing anything, including the Democrats, who should be, that are going to take us there. Unfortunately, the people who have the real ideas are splintered among many different movements. You've got the Ron Paul movement, you've got the Green Party movement, you've got the Libertarian movement. And I had a meeting in Washington not too long ago with a man named Daryl Castle, who was the vice president candidate for the Constitution Party. And Daryl and I had a long talk, and he is thoroughly cognizant of all of these issues. And the Constitution Party has a very strong position on regaining our own control of our monetary system and our economy. But people like Daryl and like Ron Paul have got somehow to come together. They're fragmented all over the country, all over the map. We need to put together a true reform party in the United States that can begin to unite the people who know what's going on and have a program. But another thing that we've got to realize...
Well, Mr. Cook, let me stop you. I got to be honest. I just don't see organizationally that happening. And with the electronic voting machines and all the fraud, I'm not saying give up hope. I'm saying it's really tough. I think it's up to everybody looking in the mirror and realizing on a one-to-one InfoWar level, making copies of the 9/11 inside job films, exposing what's happening with the economy, educating local police, because tyranny will come to our door in a uniform. And, you know, the same globalists handle...
I totally agree with you on those points. Yeah.
Well, thank you. But, I mean, the same globalists handle Barack Obama that handled McCain. I think the selection process is done in that you have those two candidates. I mean, the minute Barack Obama didn't do what the bankers wanted, they'd probably cap him. And he's got a lot of really evil people behind him, like Zbigniew Brzezinski. But, I mean, do you have any evidence of why you think Barack Obama might be better or might be any different?
Oh, no. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that the reformers who are outside of the two-party system are the ones where we have to begin to educate the people, and we have to begin to come together and create a real reform movement within the United States that the two parties, including the Democratic Party, are not doing.
I totally agree with you. You know, it's like steaming towards the rocks, and you know you're going to hit them, and the captain's crazy, and you can't get him to stop. If they succeed in their plan, how bad is it going to get here in the U.S.?
Well, that's very difficult to predict, because if you take a look at the other nations that lost their empires, England, France, Italy, they came through it. They survived. You know, they're not rich, powerful nations in the world anymore. They're just kind of doing their thing and getting by. And if that's what happens to the United States, that may be a positive outcome. If we can just regain that degree of control and have our nation and have our own destiny and give up this nonsense of world empire, we might do all right, because I think we have a lot of spiritual resources within ourselves, within our traditions, that has the ability to make something positive and real out of this terrible mess we're in.
Stay there. I want to do one more segment with you while we also have Bob Chapman on. And let's look at the breaks. You think it's 60-40? I mean, what's the chances of the good outcome, the collapse you're talking about, versus total destruction? Or the... Well, we got Richard C. Cook on with us. We've had him on before, but I want to have him on a lot more often during these economic crises that are intensifying. Writes for the Washington Post, Spates and Security News, consulted for NASA, worked in policy there at the Treasury Department, is an analyst. And he says the globalists are, the international financial elite are engineering this by design, trying to push us into World War III to destroy the United States. And since the IMF and World Bank documents say that, I agree with him. Waiting in the wings is Bob Chapman, who's been kind enough to be joining us the last few days as we watch this. Bank runs at Countrywide, you know, that happened months ago. They said that was the end. Then we had it with the Indy Bank, $34 billion. IndyMac, now they don't have money for people. This started Friday. We're now four banking days into this, and they're turning them away. Other banks are running out of cash. There's other runs going on at certain branches of other banking systems. They've got a big list of other banks about to fail. Richard C. Cook, in closing, before I go to Bob Chapman, who I appreciate joining us, the mindset of the globalists from your studying them and what they're, I mean, brushing in more of what their master plan is, how they would like us to live. I mean, you talked about how they engineered the Soviet system, how they engineered the Nazi system to destroy Europe and Russia. That's their own documents. What they've got in store here for us to bring us into serfdom.
Well, certainly a mass starvation is something that they're attempting to engineer throughout the world. We've seen this documented over and over again going back to the Club of Rome. And you're seeing with the tremendous increase in prices of food, with the prices of oil, that really cannot be explained by any rational mechanism. It's being done deliberately. And again, the attempt is to trigger a world war that is going to devastate the world, with the United States and Russia being the principal antagonists. And on the ashes, the so-called New World Order will be built, with the financiers and the financial elite in control. So that is what appears to be in the plan. And the way to avoid that or to resist it is very simply to not allow this war to take place. We have to do everything we can to keep the United States from escalating the current war and from starting the next war. We just have to realize, even if we're seeing more false flag events, even if we see a nuclear device exploded in American cities, we have to step back and realize this is all done to draw us into a big war, and that is what we have to resist.
Richard, you've been studying these guys. You've worked in and around the White House. Do you think they're green lighting? I get the feeling that, and analyzing things, it's more than a feeling, but to use that as a turn of phrase, that they're going for broke. These guys are going for broke. They've entered the danger zone. They know they're exposed. They know the world's rallying against them. People are finally waking up to them, and they're going for broke.
I think that's the way it looks right now.
And the reason I'm so concerned is I live here in Austin, the per capita, the wealthiest city in the United States, more than Manhattan, ladies and gentlemen, more than San Francisco, and more than Georgetown, per capita, richest city in the world. I mean, in the United States, Paris or London would be the richest in the world, or maybe Luxembourg, its capital. But I know people that know billionaires. I know billionaires. I know a lot of people that are in the power structure. They have, for the last 4 years, been leaving the U.S., completely leaving. The top, I checked a few weeks ago, the top 10 richest people in Israel left, and sold their houses, sold their local holdings, and left Israel. I mean, when I see them pulling out of Israel, pulling out of the U.S., it makes me think, oh, my God, they are really going to do something to both countries.
Yes, and I've been hearing the same things.
So what do you think they're planning to do?
Well, again, I think the plans for a major war are underway. Possibly nuclear, maybe probably nuclear, and involving the United States and Russia. Russia may resist that. In fact, I do think that Putin has the understanding and the ability to hold out as far as he can. But as the United States keeps pushing further and further into the Middle East and continues to engineer all of these provocations, then something is bound to break out. So that's why it's our own government that's got to be reined in, and we have to do whatever we can to resist this drive toward war, because it's war that is used by the internationalists to redraw the map. That's what they did with World War One. That's what they did with World War Two. And World War Three, really, if you look at the history of it, has been projected for a very long time. People who wrote about this long ago said
Central Asian start
three world wars.
Yes, exactly. Central Asian. A Middle Eastern start, pulling Russia and China in, even if the globalists have to use Pakistan as a surrogate?
And that's what we have to avoid. This is what we have to resist.
Okay, fire out your website, sir, and tell us when your new book's coming out.
My website is www.richardccook.com. That's where my book, Challenger Revealed, is advertised. I have a new book called We hold these truths, the hope of monetary reform. It's supposed to be published this fall by Tendril Press. And I have a new article out today on global research. It's called Status Report on the Collapse of the U.S. Economy.
All right. I want to get you back up in the next week and really have you contribute to the broadcast. We really appreciate and respect your input. Mr. Cook, thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Alex.
All right. There he goes, ladies and gentlemen. I know that Bob Chevin had a chance holding the last 5 minutes to hear what Mr. Cook was talking about. He is convinced, working in the White House and the Treasury, of course, he worked in intelligence as well, that the globalists are engineering this and are in control. It's just that some of their mid-level minions are panicking, realizing they're not part of the inner circle and are going to be crushed, Bob. You believe they are losing control, or perhaps you can expand for our understanding, detail more of your analysis, Bob.
Well, first of all, I read Mr. Cook's works, and they're excellent, and I agree with him. And, yes, we've discussed this past week on the program, and you brought it up first. They're all afraid they're going to lose their money, too, and their power with it. And I think they see that as a distinct possibility. And so going forward, I think things are going to get very nasty. Whether they will have a chance for reform remains to be seen. The comment by Mr. Cook regarding, well, maybe we'll end up like European countries are now, that would really be the best possible thing that could happen under the circumstances, because it could be a lot worse than that. But if we are to have a continuum of war, which one would call the Third World War, and if it became nuclear, which I think it would, as Mr. Cook does, I believe that probably half the people in the world would die. And I think he's right about Russia. Russia is trying to avoid this. I mean, they've been biting their tongue for the last couple of years. I mean, we got American military maneuvers in Georgia. We've got an announcement today of the Aegis system being used off Czechoslovakia to protect their new radar system to really track Russians and not Iranians. And we continue to see an uptick in activity in the Arctic, and that's why the Arctic fleet is being reformed by Russia. And at the same time, we saw the unilateral movement and the usurpation of a province that's belonged to Serbia for a couple of thousand years, given to a gang of Muslim criminals who happen to be friends of the United States government, which is very fitting. And so, Russia has been very, very restrained, but they're now training their missiles on major European cities, and just like in the Cold War, and that's what we're going to return to, and in all probability there will be a Third World War. And
Bob,
I don't even want to contemplate it.
Bob, I want to get into the mindset of the elite. I mean, you know, you were the biggest gold and silver broker in the world for a time. You've lived in South Africa, London, Paris. You've been all over the planet, you know, in your second reincarnation as a businessman, before that in intelligence. Looking at this, I mean, elites throughout history do go crazy. Napoleon got kind of wild. Hitler did. We see a lot of the Roman emperors going crazy. But these international bankers used to be pretty cool, didn't want to take too big a risk. It seems like they have just gone like they have rabies or something. And I want to address them first, and then talking about special forces, black op commanders, the generals. We know they've fired scores of them, Fallon leaving. The good news is they're real generals who are even, you know, cold-blooded New World Order people. They still are saying, no, this is bad for us. They owe some allegiance to, you know, the U.S., at least on the surface. Or at least self-preservation, not wanting World War III and to go down in the history books as mass murderers like Adolf Hitler. I mean, to look at this intellectually, it is so out of control.
Well, it is, and I think it comes of a long time in power for their generations of power, 1,000 years in controlling the monetary systems and economies of so many countries, and they get fat and sassy, and they think they can do anything they want. They don't care about life. They might tell you that they do, but they don't.
They've all got passes to the bunkers.
Pardon me?
They've all got passes to the luxury bunkers.
Well, we have to make sure they don't reach them. But be as it may, they have begun so many wars, thousands of them, over the last 1,000 years, that yes, they would instigate a third world war and a nuclear war to serve their ends. And they know some of them are going to be incinerated in the process, but that's how they perpetuate themselves.
No, you're right. In fact, they write about it. They are in to being the most extreme. They are suicidal nihilist, in one of their words. They are bored, and they like giant piles of dead bodies and smoking cities and black uniforms and death. And I guess the public's become decadent and gotten captured by their mind control, and we're going to, I guess, be part of the entertainment for them. But I don't see them getting away with it. I mean, the way they put out the GMO foods that they know are bad, the way they use DU everywhere, the way they, just everything they do, it's just, they really are devils, Bob.
Well, that's true. And the people, because of your program and programs like it, and, of course, the Internet, there's so many more people who know what's going on today than did, say, in 1960. I mean, the difference is enormous. And maybe they won't get away with it. I just don't know. And that's why you and I get on the air every day and do what we have to do to inform people. And I hope they do something with what we tell them to protect themselves and to protect their families and their nation. And it's a hard job, because sometimes you think maybe I'm just preaching to the wilderness or something. But we're not going to stop.
Bob, there's been a lot of development since we talked 24 hours ago in the markets. Your predictions of just a week ago coming true with what you were advising people in your newsletter. Break down some of the main developments we've seen here in the short term.
Well, we've seen a commitment by the Federal Reserve and the U.S. Treasury to bail out Fannie and Freddie. In our publication, we said 3.5 to 4 years ago Fannie and Freddie were bankrupt. Well, they are. They still are. And what is it going to cost the American taxpayer? Probably about $5 trillion when all is said and done. And they've done this for a number of reasons. Number one, they don't want the system to come down quite yet. They had to protect those, what they call agency bondholders of the GSEs, and a general service entity, which Fannie and Freddie are, even though they're publicly traded and owned by private interests as well. And China owns $376 billion worth of that, those bonds in Fannie and Freddie, and they wouldn't be very happy about losing that money. And so they had to step in. And so Americans, you're going to get to pay for it. It'll happen over the next several years or until the economy collapses. And there's a lot of pressures on them to do that. And that's why the stock market is up today almost a couple of hundred points, of course, with the help of our government. And because people think that everybody's going to get bailed out, Fannie, Freddie, the brokerage industry, the investment banking industry, the banking industry, some corporations, and all the banks and savings and loans that are going under, they're all going to get bailed out too, one way or the other. And so we have a renaissance here, just for today, of course, in the stocks of financial companies and builders and in the economy in general.
Is that as the suckers?
Euphoria that's being engineered.
Is that because we saw this 6 months ago when they said it was all over, everything was fine. They tell everybody's fine, the suckers pile in and buy, and then it plunges even worse in 6 months.
Well, I think the capstone is supposedly the smartest man on Wall Street or within the banking industry, which is Jamie Dimon at Citigroup. And he said that the credit crisis was 85% over in early May. So we get 3 months later, and it's worse.
Yeah, isn't it funny?
So I wouldn't want that man handling my money.
Well, that's the funny thing, Bob. I read your newsletter every week, and 98% of it comes true. And then all the top guys are wrong 80% of the time. In fact, I'm just saying that off the top of my head. You and others have broken down how often they're actually wrong. In fact, they're wrong more than they're right, because it isn't just that they're hit and miss, they're lying.
And that's what their problem is. They must lie. And did you know, and these figures go back for many years, economists are wrong two-thirds of the time.
Yes.
And the reason why, and analysts too, is because they have to do the bidding for the companies that they work for or the government. If they don't, they lose their job.
In fact, as you know, Bob, they come after analysts that tell the truth.
Oh, yes, they do. It might make life miserable for people. I'm surprised. You know, Meredith Whitney came out and really took the lid off this pot of pestilence that we're now looking at last June, a year ago June now. And she's an analyst in banks for CIBC, Oppenheimer. And she said that what Citigroup is carrying on their books isn't worth what they say it is. Now, that started this whole thing. And, you know, the insiders, the Illuminists, they never know what the trigger's going to be, but this is an untoward action they never figured on. And she's opened up the garbage can. And I'm surprised she's still alive.
They are now reporting, as you know, that $1 trillion of secret assets, their AAA rating, is filled with narcotics money there at Citibank.
And not only that, most of it, the money's been lost.
Yeah, they've just been taking it home. Just, folks, a country, a world overrun by crooks, robbing and stealing with a huge scientific brainwashing machine they bought and paid for, basically that neutralizes us so we're frozen in place while they just run around looting in front of us. It's very frustrating. We'll come back and talk more to Bob Chapman.
I was sitting in traffic, listening to the radio.
And I heard Bob Chapman.
George Strait was singing.
Bob, I was thinking this morning of all the hundreds of things you've said that would happen and have happened, all the hundreds of things I've covered. I mean, we have all their own documents, and there's still people emailing me and on message boards saying, we're liars, we hate America, the dollar's not devalued, just living in denial. And I know a lot of people are starting to wake up, like you said earlier, but a lot of other people, they make it political. They say, you're just saying the economy's bad because you like Barack Obama. It has nothing to do with that. You know, I love how the media makes it political. Like when it's a Democrat, they go, you Republicans are just saying it's bad because he's a Democrat. Or you Democrats are saying it's bad because it's a Republican. George Bush runs nothing, does he, Bob? I mean, how do we get these childlike minds to realize that if they would wake up to dollar devaluation, we could force the government to engage in policies that might not totally destroy us?
Well, you know, you're dealing with people who have had a limited outlook. They've never had a challenge like this before. Their challenges have been within their family and their job and on local issues. It's hard for them to countenance that there are a group of people who are evil, who do things that are not for their good, but for their own good, these evil people's good. And it's a little far-fetched for these people. They simply can't believe it. And, you know, there's thousands of books now on the subject, well-researched, well-written, explaining all these things over the centuries. I mean, this didn't happen in 1960 or last week. I mean, this has been going on for a long time. And so people have got to take the time. In time, they will. They'll come along slowly, unfortunately. And some of them we're going to have to feed when they're living under a bridge who didn't listen. But that's okay. I mean, we were given wonderful minds so that we can figure this thing out, and they didn't, and they couldn't. And that's okay. We'll help them. But there will be people who will wake up along the way, always not enough, but we got to do what we can.
Well, Bob, you've been talking about this for 50 years, or close to it, and so you do have a wonderful mind. Me, I mean, I read None Dare Call a Conspiracy when I was in high school, and I went to see if those quotes were true at the library, and because I wasn't even a big bookworm, but I thought, man, if Rockefeller really says he wants to destroy my country and take my guns, and the private banks funded communism and fascism, I better go find out about this. And so I went and found it, the quotes, and found out that they really said it. I mean, I guess the only gift I had was I took it serious. I guess because I saw the sheriff deal drugs where I lived and go to prison, and I saw the cops deal drugs and then be on the news fighting drugs. I guess I saw a few things when I was a kid out in a suburb of Dallas, so I wasn't naive. I knew that what you saw on the news wasn't necessarily the truth, but I don't know how the public now can't realize that we are in deep trouble.
Well, there's a vast store of knowledge out there, in part started by Geary Allen. And Geary was my partner. He wrote an idea called A Conspiracy. And there were others at that time in the early 60s. Geary's book came out in the late 60s, such as G. Edward Griffith and Alan Stang. And they both were prominent writers of the time, and they were very good friends of mine, and they still are. Unfortunately, Geary is deceased. But there's been a crusade going on, sort of undercover, so to speak, for a long time, and now it's in the open. And,
Bob, it's got to feel good for you, though, to have been out there when nobody was listening, and today, a half a century later, to see young people everywhere talking about it. We got a one-minute break. I want to just come back and plug your newsletter and then let you go. Bob, do you have time to do that?
That's fine. Sure.
I know you got another interview coming up. All right, Bob Chapman, the InternationalForecaster.com is our guest. My website's prisonplanet.com.
Or the Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
In closing with Bob Chapman, the InternationalForecaster.com, I want to plug that here in the 3 or 4 minutes we've got with you. But first off, where do you see the market going in the short term? And then where do you see gold and silver? I mean, gold and silver obviously are both exploding again today. Oh, when do you think they'll hit a 1,000, Bob?
Well, I think it's not far away, probably in the fall, maybe even before that. And probably next month is a good bet because it's very strong, even though it's been banged around today, but it was up yesterday. And I see the stock market continually lower. It's going to be under tremendous pressure. The earnings aren't there. There's all this bad news, and it's got to soak into the heads of money managers, and they got to be withdrawing from the market. And so I think that's the course. People should be out of the stock market. If you have money in banks and you want to move it, and you don't want to go into gold and silver assets, then you can always buy Swiss franc government bonds, the strongest currency in the world. And there are ways to avoid getting in trouble. You email us, we'll tell you what to do. We don't charge for it, and we don't have any monies that we receive from anybody other than the subscribers. And so with that said, I think that a lot of you have a lot of questions, particularly in view of your bank accounts. And I think it's better to be out of there. And we've been doing that for some time.
What would you do if you were a business that, say, takes $100,000 a month to operate and you just need the bank because that's how you pay your employees and pay for stock and pay for things? And you know, you're not a business that makes a lot of money. You know, that doesn't have a huge margin, but you operate, operation takes up most of your funds. What would you do?
Open up 3 different bank accounts, the one you have and 2 others, and split the money up 30-30-30, approximately. And you'll have to, you know, operate with 3 bank accounts.
Well, that's what we're doing, and it's a nightmare with the InfoWars operation with 15, 16 employees, about to be about 22 employees. Because we're just expending all of the funds we have in the fight against the globalists. We don't operate as a business to, you know, run around and wear fancy clothes, folks. It's about defeating the globalists, unlocking minds. But I tell you, it makes business hard, having to do this because the banks are so unhealthy. In fact, one of the banks we have a little bit of money in for the business is one of the ones now that they say is bad. But of this list of 200 banks they're talking about, most of them are, quote, U.S.-based consumer banks, and it's bigger banks that are involved in all the fraud that are gobbling them up, Bob.
And that will continue to happen. You know, just take Walkover as an example. It's not going to go under. If they don't come in and rescue it, then the alternative is to merge it with somebody else.
Oh, that was my final question. That was my final question I forgot to ask you, Bob. They're not giving people their money. They're telling most of them go away at the IndyMax. Now, the government could clearly have the cash and give it to them or give them cashier's checks. Are they wanting to make it look worse?
No, I don't think so. I just think that bureaucracies move slowly, and if they don't have the money, then the FDIC will get the money to them. I don't think getting your money is a problem, but why go through the hassle? You know, move it out before your bank has a problem. And you know, banks are just not safe places anymore.
Well, if
neither is U.S. government paper.
Well, I was about to say, even if your money's out of the bank, it's devaluing in the safe.
And that's why I recommend gold and silver-related assets, which are appreciating, and Swiss franc government bonds, which are a stopping-off place.
Okay,
and
folks,
we can get you a broker to buy them and help you and everything else.
TheInternationalForecaster.com. Fire out the phone number, Bob.
800-375-4188. 800-375-4188. And the email is international_forecaster@yahoo.com.
Bob, thank you for spending time with us.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
There's a fella who has been here in town. I don't know. I've known him 5-6 years. Maybe longer now. Time just flies. Maybe 8 years. He goes by Freeman. Freeman Perspective. He has a local TV show. Also does an online radio show. He's made some documentary films with Tex Mars, and he's really studied the New World Order, but also their subliminals, their brainwashing, their mind control. I want to talk with him today about the elite's mindset, their belief system, what makes them tick, and the type of planet they're trying to set up, they're trying to create. And we'll get into the mind control, a whole bunch of stuff for an hour and a half with Freeman, and we'll have him back up in the near future for a little bit longer. We will not be streaming live on the web in the fourth hour today, as we've been doing for the last 4 months. That's why I'm about to move into a bigger office and get extra board operators, because my one guy trained to work all the computers and do the live streaming has the flu right now. So that's why we're moving to a bigger office, because this place just has no more room for more people, and I got to get backup folks. But we're going to tape it and then upload it. It'll be on the web for you in the next few days. I guess it'll be the old-fashioned system where our info warriors at Nuff Said and YouTube channel and the Alex Jones channel and the Gatekeeper Invasion and all those great folks can do the old-fashioned deal of putting images up over the hour-and-a-half interview. I know that's tough on them. They've really appreciated the fact that we've added video to most of our interviews. Because what we do for PrisonPlanet.tv members is when we have guests in studio, whether it's the first hour, second hour, third hour, fourth hour, which we have every week, we will have live cameras on myself, them, a document cam, a video feed cam, like 6 different feeds we can have for you, all mixed live and sent out to you, and then also archived for PrisonPlanet.tv members. But then we also tape other interviews behind the scenes, extras, the weekly TV report, the Sunday show. We also put those on the web for you, so this will be put up on the web for PrisonPlanet.tv members, who then slice it and dice it in every which way and put it all over the web, which we love. The PrisonPlanet.tv members don't just get it in higher quality. More importantly, they support us to be able to pay for the staff, the cameras, the equipment, to then get it out to people on the web. So you're providing the seed money. And I love the fact that our members understand this. This isn't a thing of, hey, we're members and we pay for it and everybody else gets it for free. That isn't what it's about. It's about you provide the seed money by being PrisonPlanet.tv members that allows us to do everything we're doing. And you get first exclusive viewing of it in higher quality, better downloads, you know, 10, 15, 20 times better than YouTube and Google. And a lot of stuff is on the site that never ends up on the web, too, which is actually to my chagrin. My goal is to get it out to people. But I just appreciate the PrisonPlanet.tv members, because without you, we couldn't fund this operation, and we really do appreciate all of you out there. You know, we've gotten 7 servers, 2 CDNs. We're almost never down. When it rains, it pours. We have one of our big servers down today. because of a network problem in Chicago, not our server itself. Some of the PrisonPlanet.tv stuff is down, but just for a few hours. But because it's redundant, a lot of it is up because we've got it on three different servers and two CDNs. So we're trying here. We're trying to do our best. And as the economy goes to hell in a handbasket, stuff's going to get worse. And so we're not a greedy corporation that tries to maximize profits. I take any new money that comes in and put it right back into the fight. That's why I'm getting more servers. That's why we're getting an extra IT guy on top of the people we've got. That's why we're going to hire another video editor. That's why we're going to hire more webmasters. And please don't flood us with resumes. We got to get in a bigger office, get set up there in the next month. We're moving to the next week and a half. We're a small operation. I wish we could move quicker. We can't. We move at light speed compared to other Patriot groups. And that's why your continued support with your PrisonPlanet.tv memberships and buying the books and DVDs on the website and calling the toll-free number to get them, like Truth Rising, that's what makes it all possible. I tend to get all these guests up on air and then never even plug my own books and videos, which not only support us, that's secondary. The fact is they're waking people up. I mean, Truth Rising is a cinema verite masterpiece. It is so well done. It really reaches people who are unreachable, we're finding. And I frankly don't want to sit here and talk about myself and my film all day. I just want you to get it, and I think you're going to have the same appreciation for it on DVD and make copies of that and get it out to people. That's the best way to do it. Or we have it up there on DivX for quick download and burning to disk that plays on most DVD players. It's not DVD quality, but it's getting close. Put ourselves out of business here if this continues. But that's pretty much our mission. Believe me, folks, I want to go live on a ranch and run cattle and if you want and have a big garden and look through my telescope at the stars and, you know, go rock climbing and go deep sea fishing. I mean, I am not into status and power and trinkets. I wish we could defeat the New World Order today and I could just fade away. That's why my new film I'm making with Burmese is the director. Alex Jones isn't in Fabled Enemies. That's a real pleasure, by the way, for me. I'm not in Fabled Enemies. Though folks wanted to stick me in it. I'm hardly in Truth Rising. Because, you see, I want to recede. I want to see you be leaders. I want to see you be champions. I want to see you take the field in the info war. I know there's people out there listening right now that can make films 10 times better than mine. I saw some criticism of Truth Rising. Well, then you make a film. And I don't mean that as a smart mouth. No, let's see you do it. I believe you can do a better job than I do. I know I've gotten to be a better filmmaker making 19 films. I mean, I'm pouring myself out for you because I know that's how I save myself. He who tries to save his life loses it. He who gives up his life or is willing to do it gains it. And I know we are in a life and death situation. And consciously letting that burn in really gets your head screwed on straight. You're not worried anymore how you look or what people think of you or a piece of grandma's china breaks. And even though you're sentimental, you're like, hey, life ends, you know, even people die. You know, 1,000-year-old trees die. We're all going. You know, suns burn out. I mean, you know, I'm learning to turn loose of things. I've even had to come to grips with that my children are in danger in this fight. And I love them more than I love them before, but I realize the fight is even greater than them. It is a full commitment, ladies and gentlemen, a full commitment. Now, speaking of funding our operation, there's a win-win-win-win-win-win-win-win-win-win situation. You get gold bullion, silver. Well, it didn't really gold bullion. Gold bullion is just raw gold coins. These are collector coins at bullion prices. Silver coins that are collectible at silver bullion prices. And it's a commodity that's only going up. I mean, I can't see it going down. Who knows what will happen in the future? I know the dollar is being devalued. And your purchase of these metals, I think Teddy says got like a 3% markup. He offered something on money that didn't even have a markup to even pay his brokers. He lost money on that to pay his employees who are metals experts. The point is, Ted is doing this to introduce you to it, that you can really physically own gold and silver. And Ted was actually on business, and I called him back to the office today because I said, no, I want you on again today, Ted. You put your entire savings from other companies into this network and almost went bankrupt twice. Ted still dumped all his money into it, sold a house he owned to do it. He kept it afloat. Now it's stronger than ever, bigger than ever. That was years ago. We almost went under. Nobody knew about that at the time. Ted held it afloat, and he deserves the support now. But that isn't even the reason to get the gold and silver. It is that these are great deals, and Ted has week and a half, 2 week delivery. He has this stuff in hand now. He has to get your check. It has to clear, then he ships it to you. I mean, folks, Ted does it in immediate turnaround. A lot of the other gold brokers and people don't do that. Ted Anderson, things are continuing to unravel. Gold is gyrating up and down. People need to move in and get it now. What are you offering it for today?
Well, right now, Alex, we have the British sovereigns. Currently, right now, the British sovereigns are at $286. We also have the franc coins that are at $212. The Walking Liberty halves, I can't say it enough. Silver being the short supply that it is, and that I couldn't even deliver it here just a few months ago. That is such a great buy at 202 per roll of 20. You simply should be getting involved in the precious metals. I mean, come on, let's face it. We have Indie Bank with people standing in line. It's gone all the way throughout the entire world. I mean, getting all the way to Australia to affect their economy. The world right now is in big trouble. I wasn't here to hear your first part of your show, but from what I understand, you had an economist up there. Most everybody's agreeing right now, even Bloomberg, that gold and silver prices are going to go up. Bloomberg calling for, what, $3,000 gold. I mean, that's crazy. These people are stock people, not gold and silver bugs. And I have to say it myself. I mean, anybody that's sitting in the United States dollar right now looking at the economy, you have to be nervous. And, of course, if anybody is a resident of the United States, they're all affected by this. And just think, if you had more than $100,000 sitting in a bank account at Indy right now, you wouldn't have anything coming back to you. There's no disclosure on fractional reserve banking and what the risks are when you put your money in the bank. They just promise that you're going to get your money back, and it's insured by FDIC. FDIC is a U.S. government agency that, you know, will be bailed out by the Federal Reserve System.
But it's only got $53 billion in it.
Yeah, but the thing about it is, Alex, they're going to cover every last penny they have to, because they're obligated to. And they're going to look to the Fed to print money to give it to them through the purchase of U.S. Treasuries. And that just dumps money into the system and waters down the money supply we already have. And we've been dealing with too much of that already. The United States dollar is dropping. It's reflecting in oil prices, grain, gold and silver, everything that's out there. Anybody that has any sort of education at all and can understand economics to even the simplest degree can understand that if you add more money to the system, the prices are going to go up. It's what causes inflation. And we're experiencing that now, live, as we speak. And that's why the precious metals are a good buy at this time. It's a much better store of wealth. If your bank closes down and you have some gold and silver in your hands, it doesn't matter how bad things get. You've got something that's of value.
I absolutely agree with you, Ted. I want to hold you over. I want to talk about what's happening in Australia, read a few news articles on what's happening on the economy in the next segment. Then we're going to have Freeman in here. You've never heard Freeman. It's like Tex Mars and Jordan Maxwell and David Icke all rolled into one. He's coming up, done some great research, made some great films. And we'll be talking to him in studio coming up after the bottom of the hour in T-minus 12 minutes is when we're going to be coming out of that break. Final segment with Ted Anderson. Then I got a lot of other insane news as well. Hey, you're not an environmentalist, you're going to have to ride on the back of the bus. I'm not kidding, we'll cover that too. Or the... Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Central Standard Time. We don't pull any punches. We tell it like it is. There are no sacred cows here. Our guests come on and they can talk about whatever they wish. And we go right to the heart of the matter. A scientific planetary dictatorship setting up world government. And you better believe it, I believe in gold and silver. I was pitching silver when it was $7 an ounce. It was $5, but I got in, really started pitching, it was about $7. I've been pitching gold since it was $264, $265 an ounce. I've been buying a coin here, a coin there, since it hit about $300. And ladies and gentlemen, gold is up this morning, then down, then back up. In fact, I meant to check that earlier. Bottom line, Ted has gold locked in at what price, Ted?
Right around 960, and we've seen 981 today. So it's a good buy at this particular time, no question about it. Plus also, with the problems that we've been seeing. I mean, you just heard Bob Chapman yesterday. I can't explain it any better than that. I mean, right now, every time the United States runs into trouble, the Federal Reserve System has to come to the rescue. And that just means more money being printed and dumped into the system. Given time, anybody that buys a commodity that's outside of the United States dollar is going to find that they're going to be better off a few years down the road than when they originally purchased it.
You believe the Federal Reserve claimed that in the last month there was 1% inflation, I mean, increase? Give me a break, folks. You've seen a doubling in fuel prices in the last year.
Yeah. You know the statistics that they're giving us. I mean, when they said that they're no longer going to publish their money supply statistics, you know, they're lying to us. You know, they want to make it look rosier than it is, and it's just not. People know that.
Absolutely, Ted. Getting into, I mean, I see all the analysts, the mainstream analysts, talking 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 ounce gold. I don't think any of us know what's going to happen with gold. I mean, all the evidence points towards going straight up, but we don't have crystal balls. But we do know the dollar is continually sliding. We know it's losing value. And when the yuppies and know-it-all and trendies, who know all about Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie but nothing about the Republic, when they find out, and I'm starting to find some of the dumbest people I know are finally starting to figure out the dollar's dropping even without the media, that lets me know that we're getting really into dangerous waters.
Well, Alex, in my experience, I was expecting some real big things here this fall, and it's coming this summer already, and that just means it's going to get that much bigger this fall. There's just things that are happening that you just wouldn't believe could be possibly true, like these big banks that are failing. It's hard for me to comprehend what's actually really going on in the economy, and I'm an economist. It's just, you know, it boggles my mind that we're actually looking at a depression. Who would have ever believed that could happen? I would call 1-800-686-2237 and ask for the deals. Even if it's something small that you can't do a whole lot, that's fine. If you want to have more literature, that's okay too. But, you know, start doing something about your financial affairs now. Well, you still can, because paper might not buy gold.
Folks, you're probably going to hear Burmese a few days from next week, and I love doing the show, and I got a lot of passion, and I know you want me to be here. Burmese, though, while he's still in town finishing this film, is one of the few people that can sit in here and do the show, and frankly, I think he's the best we've ever had sitting in. So while he's still here for the next month and a half, you'll hear him sit in, but that's so I can go get this company in order so we can weather storms. Because, I mean, I'm so busy fighting the New World Order, making films, trying to move into a bigger office and all this, that I don't even have time to take care of myself. I mean, like, go in and get my yearly tooth cleaning or get my hair cut. I'm looking like a hippie over here. And that's how dedicated I am, but I've got to start thinking about myself, too. I mean, we get comfortable, especially those of us that aren't into our finances and money, those of us that just want to go fishing in our off time, not prance around in jewelry like a lot of these effeminate men do. We still have a responsibility to think about our money. And I only pitch what I believe in. You know, God, gold and guns. And I know these are good deals Ted's offering you. And I believe gold's only going to go up, and it has been. And I told you, remember 2 weeks ago when it was 860, get into it. It's about to go up because of what I saw with the banks. Now, it happened sooner than I thought, and it's worse than I thought. You know, we had a big analyst on today, another top economist, saying year and a half till total depression. Bob and others are saying 2.5. Look, I don't know. This just looks bad now with all these bank runs. 1-800-686-2237. The brokers are there till midnight right now because it's not just my listeners calling. It is going crazy because this company's been around for decades and people are really calling right now. So be sure and get your call and get your order in. And make sure you tell them it's the Alex Jones special, that you heard it here, or you're going to be paying higher prices. 1-800-686-2237. Don't wait. Test them out. Call up and buy one coin. 1-800-686-2237. Ted Anderson, thank you for spending time with me.
Hey, it's a pleasure again. Thanks for having me up, Alex.
You bet. That number, if you want to call, 800-686-2237. Give them a call. Ask them questions. We'll be right back with the Freeman Perspective. But first, Bob Marley and Top Rankin.
Live together.
I feel this morning.
I feel this morning.
I love you all that love goodness and life. Evil is growing. There's nothing cute or funny about it. They don't want us to unite against the darkness. Because they are spiritual birds of carrion. They eat and feed off of dead societies, dead cultures. They are the order of death. And again, to everybody out there, I offer you an olive branch. All those that have falsely attacked me, I reach out to you now and tell you the time is too short, the evil is too great. It's time to really focus on the New World Order and warn as many of the people who are still captured by the enemy psychologically and spiritually, who are still in the Matrix. It is time to unlock them now, or the destruction is going to be almost complete. Things are going to be bad regardless, but if we wake up and stand up and fight evil and are bold and have courage now, we have got a fighting chance. But to people in our own movement, now is the time to quit screwing around, join forces in waking people up. And that means we don't all join forces, and that means follow one person or all even totally agree. But it means focus our energies like our lives depend on it, like this is the 11th hour, on exposing the beast system, the New World Order. Like I said earlier in the hour when I was getting ready to introduce him, was that Freeman, he just goes by Freeman, I've known him, I guess, 8 years, maybe 9 years. He started coming around doing shows with Chris Athanas and others on the local cable channel here, has a great online radio show, makes great films, made several documentaries, made one with Tex Mars, and I'm told him and Tex may work on making a documentary out of Mysterious Monuments. In fact, I was thinking of you. That's why I thought to have you on when I had Tex on a few weeks ago. I thought, I bet Freeman's going to take this and make a documentary, and I can't wait to see it, about what we're dealing with. And to simplify it, there is an ancient subculture, an ancient secret society. Secret society is just, in a modern term, is an intelligence agency. And what they're doing is they're setting up their world plan, their world system. And their symbols, their language is all around us. And you can learn by studying it what their language is and then what they're planning to do and what's happening in the world. I mean, even if you're an evil person, that means you don't care about others, only care about yourself. Don't realize that that's destroying yourself with that process. This is interesting and important information because in business and in life, this is powerful info. I mean, just from a secular perspective, studying it, you know, for the last decade or so, seeing how they operate, I have learned a great deal and have been able to predict a lot of what is going to happen. So for the next hour and 20 minutes or so, we are joined by Freeman of the Freeman Perspective, and I'll give you your website and talk about a lot more coming up in that time with him. Freeman, it's good to have you here, my friend.
It's great to be here, Alex.
You bet. Out of the gates, I want to get something straight because I saw a video or something months ago with you on the web saying, I love Alex because a lot of great work, infiltrated the Bohemian Grove, great guy, but he keeps saying that the owl at Bohemian Grove is Moloch and it's not, you know, it's Lilith and it's this god and it's that god. And I just want to make clear, Freeman, I know that. The Bohemian Grove guys address it as a male and then as a female. And so because it is an idol they burn kids to, they let the owl, which really isn't an owl, it's just a giant. They call it an owl. They call it a goddess. They call it Moloch in some of their writings and some of their literature when they burn the child. So as you know, more about this certain esoteric area than I do, they flip back and forth. So when I was there, I heard them really address it three different ways: a horn god, goddess, the owl that comes to heal. I heard them address it as the being worshipped in Babylon and goodly Tyre, and then their literature, they call it Moloch. So it's become somewhat of a controversy. I just wanted to make that clear.
Right. Well, I absolutely understand that. And their symbolism is somewhat confusing to us because, well, they're a society with secrets. But we got to understand that this is the reason our capital is known as the District of Columbia. Who is this goddess? Who is Columbia? We have all of the Columbia Broadcasting, Columbia University, Columbia Records, And no one in America has any clue as to who their goddess is or that they even have one.
Where should we start today? Let's start with who Freeman is. And if you want to tell folks your full name, that's fine. If you don't, you can just stick with Freeman and then go over your awakening process, your family. And then let's get, first off, into who the New World Order are, what their mindset is, and then how they control us.
Absolutely. Well, I've been Freeman for so long that I don't know how to answer anything else. I got into this as a young child, studying different esoteric adventures such as the pyramids or extraterrestrials and things of that nature. And as I got deeper and deeper into this study, I came finally across the Freemasons. This wasn't until I was in college. And when I was in college and started to understand this secret society, I realized very quickly that my father was involved. So I started discussing this with my father, and I found out that he was worshipful master for the Kaiserslautern Lodge, Freemasonic German Lodge. And not only as this, he was chasing flying saucers for the government. Now, the only thing my dad ever said to me about that was, yeah, flying saucers are real. He was very close-mouthed about all of this. It was only when I discovered it for myself that he gave me any clues whatsoever. So here's my dad, worshipful master of the Kaiserslautern Freemason Lodge, who was building nuclear missiles for Martin Marietta, was on Killer One submarine with Jimmy Carter, and also chasing flying saucers in Project Blue Book. So I had to come at my reality from an entirely different perspective. It wasn't, is this going on? It's what's going on. It was more, I had to get deeper into these more esoteric ideas and not such the political.
Absolutely. And, of course, your website is thefreemanperspective.blogspot.com, or just Google Freeman and, New World Order, and it'll come up for you. Let's get into, the sum of your research, your study, who the globalists are, who the Illuminati are, who the New World Order are, what their highest councils are, how many of them make up the, their great white brotherhood or their penultimate, brotherhood of the serpent. And then why they want to turn the world into what they're turning it into and what that world is going to look like.
Now, I began with a study of corporate logos, with trying to understand what all of these signs and symbols around us meant and where they came from. And as I studied and studied into this, I quickly realized that each of the corporate logos that we see daily are references to the inner rituals of Freemasonry. So you have your star of Texaco and your shell of Shell. These are symbols of Lucifer. These are the same symbols you'll see of the Statue of Columbia out in front of the UT Capitol or UT campus. We have our goddess Columbia sitting there with a star and a pentagram, or a pentagram and a shell.
Just like we see Obama with the rising sun, or we have the torch that symbolizes the new day, the morning star Lucifer.
Everything, yes. And you can go through it again and again and again, going through Hollywood. Phoenix Pictures uses the Lucifer, which is a friction match, as their logo. They do film on genetic manipulation, on child labor camps, on starring Sigourney Weaver, Arnold Schwarzenegger. They do movies on Hitler Love, written by Stephen King. And all of these movies come through one production company that has Lucifer, which is a friction match, which becomes the rising sun as their symbol. So as I was going through these different symbols, and I came up with Phillips 66. All right, what does that mean? Well, what I've researched and discovered is that
Kabbalah.
Freemasonry is Kabbalah, and 66 is the number of the dark side. And so I'm looking at Phillips 66, and I realize in Kabbalah is an ancient Hebrew mysticism.
And that's why 666 is the dark side number, then combined with a man practicing it is 666.
Exactly. And you get to this with the symbols that we'll see in Volkswagen. So in Hebrew, 6 is V. And so when Hitler came to power through the Thule Society, through this occult agenda, his war machine, the Volkswagen,
double V,
took on the double V, but the two V's interlaced, making a third V, making 666.
And then they say 666, 666, because they double the W.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And then, of course, for those that don't know, it's mainline history. Hitler and the double thunderbolts in runes means Lucifer falling to earth. I mean, just everything they did. They admittedly have the SS castle chopping SS people's heads off to portend things. I mean, whether you believe in this or not, they do.
Yes.
And you've got the Deputy Fuhrer parachuting out of his airplane over the castle with all these runes and magic ambulance, Rudolf Hess. I mean, it just, and then they grabbed him real quick.
Yes. And as we start to discover these Kabbalistic symbols and realize, I used this knowledge of the 66 to predict W being railroaded into office. I knew that they were calling them W for a reason. And it was at this moment when I realized that I had made this connection. I knew that that would be the year that they would instigate the false flag terrorist event. We know.
And his father, in two separate speeches on 9/11 years before, they kept saying it's going to come forth because they believe they do the rituals, but then by the public symbol, that's the lesser magic or the doorway bringing the power in. You want to explain that to people?
Well, exactly. It was the same with like Hitler's prestidigitation when he would stand before all of them with the big wall of light and have them all compacted in a religious frenzy. You know, this is reality manufacturing. It is a way of instilling a mindset pattern programming into us. And so they know about these things. They have been doing this type of intelligence for decades or millennia, and they are very masterful at this. But now, as we look into this picture, and as I was saying, we have our goddess Columbia, but we got to take this all to Hebrew to understand the Masonic connections. And so in Hebrew, the goddess is known as the Shekinah or the Shekinah. And so when I saw that this Shekinah campaign was coming out, and then, of course, we put Saddam Hussein in power, and he's announcing he's Nebuchadnezzar reincarnated.
He was saying that publicly.
Absolutely.
He's totally out of his mind believing this. They all believe it. And it doesn't stop there. You have Bush always saying, we're going to bring order out of chaos. He even says one of their main maxims, he said it repeatedly. I mean, they also believe that they need to manifest it. Why in this black magic is what we're talking about? Why do they believe it's so important to tell you, like when Bush said twice, I'm going to be a dictator, it's going to be a lot easier, when he's always saying, I'm going to bring order out of chaos, or he'll get up and say, yeah, we're going to have a draft, and then laugh and say, I mean, no draft, and then smile. I mean, you can see them doing all of this.
Now, the thing that I've gathered from all of this is the power of free will. And as I've looked into Freemasonry, looked into the occult practices, I've seen that what you must do, I mean, the first thing you say when you walk into a Freemason temple is that you come of your own free will and accord. And so it is this free will that you must give up. And I believe that this is the spiritual key that's hiding in the midst of it all, that we must give up our free will. And so they put it in front of us.
And that's what the Bohemian Grove ritual, I mean, there's lots of parts to it, but just like they take something from Faust, something from Babylon, something from Greece, they bring in the Canaanite god Moloch, the bull, Lilith, the owl. They do all of this, and and that one part about Dulcair is where they lock your conscience in the box, and it's a ritual to take their conscience away. And people say, oh, that's just a theatrical thing. No, I was with those 1,000-plus men. They were in religious ecstasy.
Yes. And they bring this stuff before us. They do high-profile rituals right in front of us constantly. Now, a lot of people don't recognize that. Well, back with the shock and awe, of course, that was it was a ritual of theirs, but many people died in this. But the shock and awe comes down, strikes Nebuchadnezzar, Saddam Hussein, using the mother of all bombs, which is the Moab, and I challenge you to go
look. Yeah, they even call it the Moab.
Exactly. Go look in Isaiah and see who Lucifer was, and that was Nebuchadnezzar. And who was Nebuchadnezzar taken out with but by the Moabites, right? So the shock and awe comes down, strikes Nebuchadnezzar using the Moabs. This is ritual, it's ceremony. This is not warfare, and all of our people are dying in the middle. Now, they use these high-profile rituals in front of us constantly.
And they also believe that they can't just only kill the enemy forces, because in the Illuminati, they believe in this balance. And we see the Illuminist, with Star Wars, where the good guys are trying to bring balance to the force. They believe it's not right for our soldiers to not die. So they use DU, and they give a certain percentage shots that are going to kill them. You understand that, troops. They believe in balance. They're going to kill you. Go ahead.
Absolutely. And if you realize in that Revenge of the Sith, that when they took out the Republic and announced the Empire, it was upon Execute Order 66.
Execute Order number 66.
Which is W.
Which is dark side.
Yes, exactly. I mean, it's all right there in front of us, but it's all coded in this Kabbalistic esoteric event. Now, I was at the WTO IMF protest after the Seattle fiasco. Right now, people are talking about the rainbow attack. Well, let's think about Seattle when they attacked all of those protesters against the WTO IMF. I went to Washington, D.C. and said, do that to me. And as I was standing there, I walk up on a line of riot squads that had blocked 600 people in the middle of a street. And they arrested all of these 600 people that were little old ladies, little boys, zip-tied them all, put them all on city buses, on school buses, hauled them all away. 14 hours these people were held without bathrooms, without water, for nothing, for walking down the street. Now, there were 1,000 of us on the other side of the police line. They're not bothering with us. They had trapped these 600 in a
mess. No, they admittedly, and I've been there in New York and everywhere and seen it, they will just randomly get a group. It's all about training, taking them to the facility. Exactly.
Now, what I did, now, with my information, I was yelling at all of these officers in their riot gear, you know, yelling about these people's rights and how they were just offensive and are you American? And as I saw, I got no response from these you know, bullies at all, these jackbooted thugs. But what I did is I pulled out some of my Freemasonic knowledge, and I yelled to these officers, how many of you are widow's sons? Which is a code word for Freemason. Alex, I got their attention then.
Oh, yeah.
They all looked at me. All the riot squads, the officers, everyone standing there was a widow's son. Every single one of these men was a Freemason that was holding these American people in the middle of this.
And how dare them claim that they are like George Washington, the Masons of old, when they are there violating what our forefathers fought and died for.
Absolutely.
So there's been a shift to Order Number 66.
Exactly.
Execute Order Number 66. Bring in the dark side. Kill the younglings.
Yes.
Or the next stop that we make will be mine. Tell all the folks in Russia and China too. Don't you know that it's time to get on board and let this train keep on
Freeman is our guest. My websites, of course, are PrisonPlanet.com, Infowars.net, JonesReport.com. We have redesigned PrisonPlanet.com, but if you like the old PrisonPlanet.com, just go to classic.PrisonPlanet.com or click on the big fat banner on the front of PrisonPlanet.com, and we update the old main page every day just for you. The forum is down today because out of all of our servers, that's the one server that's down that has the forum on it, and we're working like the devil, as they say, to get that back up. Freeman, we were just talking during the break, and I've checked this for myself. The cornerstone of the Twin Towers laid on 9/11. The cornerstone of the Pentagon laid on 9/11. All the Masonic things dealing with what happened. But we'll get into that in a minute. Go back to the police. So you start talking to them in Masonic. Of course, they're porch Masons. But you can see them doing their evil deeds now, though.
Right.
So they shouldn't claim they're the good guys anymore. What did they say? I mean, what else did you say? What happened?
Well, at that point, I kind of ducked. When I noticed that I had really gotten their attention, at that point, I just kind of was like, oh, wow, okay, I know what's going on here. Now, as far as porch Masons go, my father, being the worshipful master within the lodge, he told me, well, you know, I don't really like all the gobbledygook of the Scottish Rite. So here's a man who is running the rituals, who is doing the ceremonies for the initiations, and he doesn't have a clue as to what they mean. You know, it's something that they don't research themselves. There's not many Masons who are going to go in and try and understand Kabbalah.
Well, if you tell a Mason that Albert Pike, who's hanging on all their walls at the lodge, said, I worship Lucifer, we are Lucifer worshipers, we're going to murder everybody in World War III, we're going to have three world wars. He said that 120-something years ago. They'll just tell you you're a liar until you pull it out, and they'll freak out. Or if you tell them Manly P. Hall says you worship Lucifer.
Right.
And they'll say, no, and then you show them, they go, whoa.
Yeah, yeah, and I, you know, I get deep into the different Masonic studies.
I mean, it's simple, folks. Devil worshippers run things. I mean,
yes, it's true. It's true. Their god, Lucifer,
he gives power to those on the earth. They'd figured that out 2,000 years ago when Christ spoke.
Yeah. Well, this is their hermaphroditic god, and this is why you'll see the solar symbol, the sun symbol.
In the Passion, the devil is male and female, but go ahead.
Yeah, yeah, and that's why you see all that confusion with the owl at Bohemian Grove, because they are into this hermaphrodite, and we see a lot of this symbolism in Hollywood, a lot of the hermaphroditic symbolism that comes out with Madonna and Prince. I mean, Prince's symbol is the hermaphroditic symbol of Venus and Mars. Or you have the Star of David, which is on the Scottish Rite Temple in Denver, Colorado, along with the Rosy Cross, the Rosicrucians. The the very symbol of Freemasonry, the compass, square, and G, is a hermaphroditic symbol. And so we constantly see these very same symbols to Lucifer, and that's absolutely what they are. And that is who our goddess Columbia is. Because once you realize that we are looking at the goddess out in front of the UT campus, we see the symbols of Lucifer, the pentagram and the shell. Now, the reason these are the symbols of Lucifer is because she is Venus. And these are the symbols of Venus, the shell and the pentagram. Venus, in the dictionary, is Lucifer. And so
the morning star.
Exactly.
Because it's best seen in the morning.
Yes, yes, it brings the sun. And this is the codes that we will see over and over and over again in front of us. Columbia sportswear clothing, their symbol is the canted swastika, right? And then inside you'll see a dove, which is the symbol of Semiramis, or the ancient Sumerian goddess. And so we can follow this goddess from the ancient times on the way up, from Semiramis to Athena to Minerva.
Yeah, from my studies, they do defer mainly to the goddess. This is a goddess cult.
Yes.
All right, stay there, Freeman, back in 70 seconds. Fourth hour, transmission continues. Stand by. For the... Let's go over it all. We're going to have Freeman back up for 2, 3, 4 hours in the near future. In fact, we can have you back in next week for 2 hours. You were also at the Rainbow Gathering. You witnessed that. I want to get 4 or 5 minutes on the police attacking from you, somebody who was there. But this is a quick segment. So many stories to tell, so much to go over. You were explaining to people there's symbolism everywhere. I would say 75% of the worship I see and the symbols I see are to the goddess. The rest of when they show the male symbol, they will show the all-seeing eye, which I know can be both. But tends to be male, with the phallus, the capstone of that. Then I was just in D.C. I mean, it's just plastered everywhere, and everybody knows that, but to be there. So let's just keep breaking down whatever you think's most important, but I want to get into their master plan and what they're wanting to build.
Well, I just went on a major film campaign, went to the Georgia Guidestones, I went all over St. Augustine, and I ended up in Nashville. Now, Nashville seems to be their new Atlantis. Now, that's another thing that this brotherhood holds dear and close to their heart is this Atlantis story. Now, whether or not Atlantis was real, I don't know, but they definitely hold on to it. And when I got to Nashville, I found that they have, of course, the Parthenon there with a 42-foot golden goddess standing inside, complete recreation of the ancient Parthenon. But just down the street from this Temple of the Goddess is the Temple to Mars, and you'll find a big statue of Mars within there. Now, Nashville is very interesting because what you'll find is that the Freemasonic rituals are all based out of Solomon's Temple. So when you're in a Masonic ritual and your initiation, you're dealing with Solomon's Temple. And if you look into Solomon, of course, Solomon was a worshiper of Molech. He was also a worshiper of Asherah, which means grove, and also Shamash, which is their solar deity. Now, out in front of the Capitol in Nashville is a large bicentennial mall that was put up in 1996, which just happened to be the same year that Saddam Hussein was recreating Babylon. This giant bicentennial mall out in front of the Capitol, built by your money, was a giant seal of Solomon to bind spirits. You can look at it straight. It's on FreemanTV.com.
And they call it the Star of David is one of their symbols. That's not really the Star of David. That's the seal of Solomon that God supposedly gives him after he has all these wives and has problems with these genies. Whether you believe it or not, it's the Bible, folks. These devils running around, he's loosed. And this is the seal God gives him, correct?
Correct. Now, the seal of Solomon to bind spirits is slightly different than the Star of David. It looks more like a keyhole. But this whole device that is built out in front of the Nashville Capitol is an acoustic device that has the triple pentagram, and it has 50 columns surrounding it that all radiate the sound right back to the center of the pentagram.
They have a smaller one of those behind the Texas Capitol for dead Texas peace officers. It's black granite, huge pentagram, and they always do this to the goddess that they're saying, well, these cops are to you.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So we're looking at these massive building campaigns. When they blew up City Hall in Orlando and announced that it was the first point of light in the 1,000 point of light system for George H.W. Bush, they blew up City Hall. It was on Lethal Weapon 2, I believe. And they erected this large phallus and then a gushing vagina right next to it. And so they will always have these hermaphroditic symbols placed right in front of us. And, of course, everybody in Orlando was like, why did we pay $140,000 for this large asparagus? They didn't know. They didn't know what they were seeing. And we see this daily.
The Washington Monument.
Exactly.
Is a, how many feet tall is that? Is
555, I believe.
A giant male member. Yep.
Absolutely.
And by the way, I had a Russian film crew here with me, and I had a tour when I was a kid, and I read it in history books, that the Texas Capitol has the goddess on top of it and is a temple dedicated to her and was dedicated. The Russian TV crew didn't believe it. When we got there, they happened to put a display up. I don't know if it's still there, but last year, saying, yes, this is the goddess. This is her temple. And they got the state police to admit it on tape.
Awesome. Now, that's the same thing when we're looking at the clock tower, where, of course, mind control agent Charles Whitman shot everybody from the UT tower, which also has owl-like features, but it is, of course, in due relation to the Capitol Dome, which is your male-female, again, the hermaphroditic symbols. And in between, you've got George Washington and the goddess Columbia with her symbols of Lucifer. So you've got your hermaphroditic symbols right there, just as the capital of D.C. has.
Stay there. These people run everything. They want to kill you and your family. We'll come back and talk about it.
Or the Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Freeman is our guest. FreemanTV.com is the website. Also, thefreemanperspective.blogspot.com. Our websites are PrisonPlanet.tv and Infowars.com. Continuing with the rest of the hour, I'd love to have you back soon. Freeman, I want to get more into their mindset again, more of how they're conducting these rituals in front of us. I know you're wanting to show people how this is all out in front of them, but from studying the Great White Brotherhood and the rest of it, let's get into what their penultimate higher councils from your study, who's in them, what their main plan is, and how things are going for them.
That we can do is discern their motives by their actions and
know them by their fruits.
Exactly. And really what I see is one is a timeline. Of course, they had 911 scheduled forever, being that the Pentagon and the Twin Towers were Masonically dedicated on 911. So we see that they are forming a timeline, that this has most likely been thought about since the creation of America. And what we see are the programming of our children. And so they use pop icons like Madonna and Britney and Christina Aguilera as these high-profile ritual goddesses. Now, where do they come from? How did this end up to be?
Now, by the way, years ago, you and Tex and others were saying they were conducting rituals in the concerts. Now, the last 2 years, they've said, yeah, it's all Kabbalistic ritual. Black magic, Heil Hitler, basically.
Absolutely. I mean, when Rick Perry came back from Istanbul at the Bilderberg meeting, what did he do when he got back here? He went to a secret Prince concert that no one was allowed to, right? Curious. You know, these are the type of things that I like to catch upon. And so as I'm looking into this picture and I find out that, of course, all of these stars that we're looking at with Britney, Christina Aguilera, Lindsay Lohan, Hannah Montana, these are all Mouseketeers. They're all straight from Walt Disney World. So as we start to look at this picture, we realize that Walt Disney was a high-level Freemason that was hired by J. Edgar Hoover, who was a 33rd-degree Freemason. I was at the Temple of the 33rd and played with J. Edgar Hoover's gold-plated phone. That they hired Walt Disney as a Mason to instill mind pattern programming into us and into the children. And so as we see all of his different movies that bring about different
ideas. And now
ideas,
they've been caught. They put phalluses.
Exactly.
All
the Little Mermaid.
Everywhere. It's everywhere. All of them.
Absolutely. So let's have a look at Walt Disney World. What is this? What are we looking at? Well, what we find is that every ride in Walt Disney World is, of course, sponsored by a military-industrial corporation, which will be holding a Masonic symbol as their seal.
And they have the future cities and how you're going to live, and everybody's going to have an RFID bracelet and be thumbprinted to get in.
Exactly.
An indoctrination center, all a temple.
Yes, exactly. You get into Space Mountain, and you come off of RCA Space Mountain, and then they use predictive programming to tell you what your future will hold. And so they're telling us constantly what our future will be. through, and now you go through a roller coaster like Space Mountain and you get somewhat traumatized, and then they use this to program you. They do the same thing in films and all of Hollywood. Now, I'll tell you, the Georgia Guidestones are surrounded by Hollywood. That Seal of Solomon I was talking about in Nashville is surrounded by Hollywood, the holly plants. And these are their symbols of death and resurrection from the Druidic past. So we will find that the blockbusters, of course, are the Freemasons. Or the Masons, you know, they break the blocks.
And Hollywood's what they make the little wands out of.
Exactly. And so...
And they use Harry Potter to indoctrinate everybody. All of this just boiling everyone, rendering them down in this huge occult language now being revealed.
Yes.
Why do they believe it has to be revealed now?
Well, I think they want us all on their page. I really am not sure, but they definitely have been gathering more and more people into this mindset as they open the Kabbalah to the public. And
now you keep saying Kabbalah. I mean, obviously, the Jews, the Israelites, wrote a lot of stuff down. So they picked up stuff out of Egypt, and then Solomon brought it in. They also went into captivity in Babylon and amalgamation there. And I understand the modern rites all go back to Solomon, but I just want to be clear. It goes back to Egypt. From
absolutely, Hebrew. Absolutely. There is a reason there's a pyramid on our dollar bill. So absolutely, yes. The whole Y2K ceremony was a celebration of Horus.
Oh, my gosh. I watched that on TV. Giant fire shooting out of the pyramids, huge movie projectors of demons hopping around. And they cut to London and Paris, and they were, "We worship you, anti-beast." Who is this anti-beast?
I hadn't heard of that. In London, they burnt the River Thames to the speed of the sun. This was their River Styx, you know. And then when we got to America...
I mean, they're just doing wild, giant rituals in front of everyone.
In front of everyone.
And they're girding their police in these Darth Vader outfits, which Lucas will tell you, that's an archetypal executioner or torturer. That's why, and then now police chiefs admit it's to intimidate you. These are the forces of death.
Yes. And that's what they're inculcating, is this police state of mind. And everybody's going, "Oh, I better not say anything. I better not get out of line." And this is exactly what
they
want.
And then
they
actually win.
Exactly. This is exactly what they want from you, is for you to go back and hide and cower. And, this is where the rainbow kind of stands out, where they don't cower. They all come out there every year. I don't know how many of those people realize that they're stepping into being quote-unquote terrorists by going out there. But when you go out there, you're taking your life at risk. You really are. And your fear is not of anybody but the police and these jackbooted thugs. You know, they're going to torment you and traumatize you the whole way. Now, I have suffered what seemed to be barium poisoning at the gathering. And many of us, a lot of us, in 1996 got ill, very ill. And once I ended up in the hospital, I had many tests done. And of course, getting a barium test is too expensive. But what you'll find is that we openly discuss giving barium to the Al-Qaeda. It was open news that they were feeding barium. Now, why barium? Because it is a radioactive isotope that they can use the X-band radar to determine where you are.
Well, actually, the Stasi did that. That came out in the news that they used that to track dissidents in East Germany.
Yes, exactly. And so they fed us all barium. As far as I can decipher from my symptoms and from ending up in the hospital, I had every symptom of barium poisoning, and so did everyone else that was at the Missouri gathering in 96.
They give it to their own priest of death. They all give them the DU and the shots. And again, don't just think you're in a black uniform and that you're going to getting away with me. You get death, too. They believe in being fair, don't they?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. They don't want their jackbooted thugs coming to get them. They need to get these men under control as well. So absolutely, everybody's going to suffer if this goes through.
Yeah, they're going to suffer real bad. Continue with what they want to turn the world into. Well, answer that question again. Who is the ruling council from your study? How many people are really in the inner council? Give us that pyramid power structure from your decades of research, Freeman.
Well, my studies have taken this story off planet, so I don't know if you're ready to go there.
But, I mean, let's just get to what they believe, and I understand they believe that, too. But, I mean, for me, just in a secular, mechanical way, I already know much of what you're saying, but I like your perspective. And the reason I'm saying that is I know what he's saying is accurate, and he knows a lot. That's why we have Freeman here. But, I mean, I just want to get the basics of the power structure we can prove and the things that we know they're doing.
We have seen this tri-city state control with the Vatican, with the City of London, and with the District of Columbia, all of which have no nation. And we see that this power...
That's right, private. That's a key you just brought up. You explain that. You've got these three corporate blocks, these three squares,
yes.
And they dominate the planet. These are the kind of base, like if you're playing a game of tag. And Israel's now kind of a base, too. But there's three main ones where they can jump from square to square and that are sovereign corporate entities. Talk about that.
Absolutely. Well, the Vatican, of course, is the religious arm. The City of London is the economics, and then we're the military arm of this major globalization. This is something that it's been in power that long. These guys have been working towards this top production all this time. Well, when we look at the Georgia Guidestones, we see that the eugenics program is one of their main things. What I see them doing, first of all, is, of course, they're the ones that came up with the nuclear missiles. They're the ones that were destroying matter. Now we have CERN and the grid that are trying to recreate matter and try to bust through to the other dimension. So as we look into these, they've been trying and trying to get to this technological advanced state.
They want to be gods.
Yes. And then once they've achieved this, using all of us as their slave labor, then they intend to kill us all off. And that's where we're at today.
And that's stated in all their documents.
Yes. And so we watch as they are doing this occult practice, which is science to us today, of course, where they are first destroying matter, then creating matter and trying to open a portal to the other side.
And that goes back to all the highest level Egyptian rituals.
Absolutely.
Death and rebirth.
Exactly. Those pyramids are frequency modulation devices. Just as we see on many of these structures, like the one I was talking about in Nashville, these are frequency modulation devices. Harp is a frequency modulation. And everything being frequency, that's what these people are after. But they needed all of us. They had to create an America in order to bring about the technological advancements necessary for their occult agenda. So the first thing you'll notice is that they were going to get these things out of the way. They were going to destroy matter with the atomic bomb. They were going to create matter with CERN. And now they have achieved their goals. And, of course, CERN's logo is 666, if you look at it, with a hyperdimensional portal combined in there.
Yeah, it's really just totally wicked.
Yeah.
It looks like an old black magic seal.
And what stands out in front is Shiva, goddess of destruction, or god of destruction, along with the skull and bones on its head.
Oh, yeah, these are nice people.
Yeah. So we're looking at this picture that we don't fully understand because, well, we've been kept out of the loop. Certainly no.
But as you said, most of the Masons are low level. They don't know. Most of the occultists, they've got all the fake little subsidiaries. I want to talk about the penultimate top of the pyramid in the power structure. I know they believe there's gods and angels, you know, up the rest of the circle. But I want to, you know, the human element of what we can prove, what these lunatics believe. Then I want to talk about their master plan and then more about their symbolism. And where you see all this going with Freeman. We'll also open the phones up the last 20 minutes or so for questions specifically to him on the occult. 1-800-259-94.
I'm your masters of war. You that build the big guns. You that build the death planes.
All right, from your study, from their own documents.
You that build all the bombs.
What is the master plan? Are they on schedule?
You that hide behind walls.
Well, the question comes, what is the point of ceremony? What is the point of these initiation rituals? Why do they do all of this? That's when we start to get into understanding of where they're going. Now, I had just performed a ritual with the Mayans for the winter solstice. I was down there to document that at Tikal. And during that whole time, I'm questioning, what is the point? I have the same questions with the Freemasons and the Illuminati as they do all of these initiation rituals. And as I say, my father didn't even know what they meant.
Well, we know a lot of what they mean, though, because it's all symbolized. But really, it's to carry on the brotherhood. They need the ritual to keep it bound together. I mean, what in their tradition they're supposed to carry out is the whole point. Like you said, the fruits.
Yes. And we're looking at their fruits, and they're awful. We live in a corporatized fascist state, and I feel that this was the ultimate goal as they were building up this. Everyone acts like America was set up as this city paved with gold, but when we start to look into the picture, you start to see that all the heads of the top corporations are all Freemasonic. You find that I went to a lodge in Lawrence, Kansas, and they're all telling me, well, you know, if you join the Freemasons, you won't get killed. I've been spared. My life has been spared on numerous occasions. When we look into the Revolutionary War, 95% of the generals on both sides, British and American, were Freemasons, sworn not to hurt one another. So we've got these men that are doing these initiatic rituals. They're bringing themselves up. And, of course, they're the ones that get shot into space. They're the ones that that become the military intelligence. They're the ones that are chasing flying saucers like my father. They're the ones that dedicated our space shuttles as the Columbia Endeavor for the discovery of Atlantis. You know, so I have constantly seen these men moving forward in this progression of technological advancement, getting off of the planet. They discuss this utopia. They've got their books like Sir Francis Bacon's New Atlantis or The Secret Destiny of America by Manly P. Hall that outline their goals to build this this utopia of theirs with.
Yeah, I mean, really, it's the ultimate selfishness because they go into the future, they get to know all the secrets and have the cool lives, and then they say, "Well, you're profane. You didn't care about it, so you deserve to be a slave." But they do everything they can to dumb us down. They're just the ultimate criminals.
Exactly, and they are damn proud of it.
You will know them by their fruits.
Yes, and that was always Lucifer's fall, was it not? The pride. You know, quite honestly, Murica, the star of the Templars, is Lucifer once again, Venus, Murica, and that's where our capital or name comes from.
America, oh yeah.
So you've got to start to look at this picture different. You know, I was able to predict W being railroaded into office because of his because of the Kabbalistic connections to 66. I was able to predict the 9/11 events because I knew that these guys were ceremonial bastards and that they needed to stick to their dates.
Yeah, go over some of the, I mean, the open ceremony with 9/11, the two pillars, all of it.
Yeah, well, we're looking at, now I did talk with the Kabbalist magician that designed the Twin Towers. And he said that they were designed in honor of the Rockefeller brothers, and that's why one tower stands 6 foot higher than the other. Now, he also told me that it was the Bin Laden Construction Company that built the Twin Towers and that they had asked him where to put the demolition charges. And, of course, you can see all of this on Freeman TV. We are looking at this Twin Tower symbolism, which is a symbol of the Hegelian dialectic. It's there always been their power. That's always been their way. And where this comes from is an ancient story of Solon that goes back to Egypt, and he is brought to the subterranean chambers, which they now have announced are real and shown on Fox News, these subterranean realms under Giza Plateau. And he found these twin columns, or he was shown these twin columns, which the Freemasons called Jachin and Boaz. And on it was given the concepts of how to rule civilization, and this is what they follow.
I mean, it was agriculture, mathematics, politics.
Absolutely. So they understand these dueling powers, and they will create the good side and the bad side, and that's what we need to recognize, is that we may want to rally behind these good forces, but what we got, it's mind pattern programming that is coming to an agenda. And so we must recognize that they are fulfilling both roles. This was explained in League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, all about the Masons running both sides. Of course, V for Vendetta, another scary film that they put out, which is
where they openly tell you, we release the bioweapons, we stage the terror attacks, and we're taking your rights away.
Exactly, and they get everybody to dress up as the Fall Guy, Guy Fawkes, when actually it's this Percy bloodline that blew up tried to blow up Parliament. Now, as we come down this structure and we get to the Percys, of course, had to change their name to Pierce to hide their shame. And we get to Franklin Pierce, the 14th president of America, who is a direct descendant of the guy who tried to blow up King James. Well, then Franklin Pierce is replaced by James Buchanan, who
has... Stay there. We'll come back. Or the... We'll be right back with Freeman here in just a few minutes. Maybe you can IM me the callers, too, John. We'll be taking some calls for our guest here later in the segment at 1-800-259-9231. Before we go back to our guest, eFoods Direct is the longest continually operating storable foods company in the nation. and with headlines on PrisonPlanet.com about gas lines this fall, mainstream news, and World War III and the rest of it they're discussing. I think it's smart, even if we're got a 10% chance bad stuff's going to happen. I think it's a little bit higher than that to get some high-quality, clean, non-GMO food. Big fat links on the top of InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. The toll-free number, they can also give you a free brochure, a free audio CD about what they do. Longest continually operating company in the U.S., Storable Foods. It's where I've gotten my Storable Foods four times now. Been stockpiling them up, giving them to family. 1-800-409-5633, 1-800-409-5633. You think it's dangerous to... You think it's dangerous to have runs on the banks out there? You think that that is bad? Well, food could be an even bigger problem, and they use food as a weapon, as they say on their own UN documents. So, again, 1-800-409-5633. Also, folks, we have another fabulous sponsor, and that is the folks at Interfood. They're patriots. This company was founded by one of George Humphrey's friends right here in Austin, Texas, been around for a long time. They're known for their main product, Interfood. They have a big line of other great products, healthy coffees, healthy cocos, infused with all these great rainforest super nutrients. And the foods you're eating have been debased of value with the farming methods. You know that. It's an admitted fact. Well, these are foods raised organically that have been, you know, fed on super nutrients. And then when you get to the fact that they don't pasteurize it, 20 different superfoods, you get full absorption of the nutrients, the trace elements, dulse kelp, barley grass, wheatgrass, carolina, spirulina, and 14 other power-packed ingredients. Interfood.com. If you go to Infowars.com and link through, you get 10% off by linking through from my site to Interfood.com. Follow the banner at Infowars.com or get 10% off. Buy in bulk, get an additional 20 on top of that by calling 866-762-9238, 1-866-762-9238. This really is a great product. It's so important with all the things we're being bombarded with to be healthy. I believe in this. Give them a call. I trust this product and think it's great, 866-762-9238. And in closing, I have done 3.5 hours of the radio show and haven't really plugged the films. I mean, in passing, I've said you need to get the films. If you don't have a PrisonPlanet.tv membership, you need one. They are 15 cents a day or even less if you get a year membership, but a month membership is $5.95. We've not raised prices on that since we started the website 4 years and 3 months ago. There's thousands of pieces of media, all 19 of my films, in ultra-high quality. I mean, it's almost as good as DVD. And the number one reason to be a member is then burn them to disk. There's instructions. It's totally easy. I'm not net savvy, and it's easy for me to burn disk. You can burn them DivX, which a lot of new players have, so it's really high quality, or you can crunch it down and put it on normal CDs or disk with some of the other systems. But I don't want you to think there's a bunch of work. It's just it is wonderful work. I mean, get in there, burn copies, or get a PrisonPlanet.tv membership and it can plug right into your big screen TV. I mean, it'll look good on a big screen and have friends over to watch it online tonight. I don't care if it's two people. This is how we're going to do it, is believing we can win, believing we can show people first they're being lied to. There's a real world out there versus what they're being taught. And let me tell you, this Illuminati world is a lot more real than the world of these Hollywood people are doing, or these distractions and these diversions. So go to PrisonPlanet.tv, get a membership today, or this is important. Get the hard DVD, the super high quality, $19.95. Get a second copy, $9.95, of my new film, Truth Rising, about 9/11, the first responders, the truth movement, how we're being demonized, the police trying to plant bombs on us. I mean, this is an incredible adventure film, and it's real. Get the DVD. Make as many copies as you can. Go out and buy a DVD duplicator. They're cheap. Start making them. Get them out, and know you're having an effect. Look how far we've come. Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com. PrisonPlanet.tv. Now is the time to get in game, to get these films and get them out to people. Okay, going back to Freeman. Freeman, I'm going to take calls in about 10 minutes, but other areas, other symbolism, other things people should know about. This is just an introductory interview with you. We're going to have you back soon if you'll do it. Whatever you think is most important for people to know and understand and to see around them.
Well, now, these guys
guys have been encoding things into these structures for millennia, as we had the Templars building the cathedrals and putting in sacred geometry to pass this knowledge down. We also find that a 33rd degree Freemason put a cross in Hende that was coded to show a major catastrophe coming up. Now, of course, I was saying I was at the Mayan ritual. They also believe that a major catastrophe is coming and it will begin next year. And, of course, they've got their end date for 2012. What we find is that this brotherhood are secretly encoding things into these structures and into different symbols that they put out. And like I said, I was at the Georgia Guidestones. Now, when you look at the Georgia Guidestones, of course, you've gone over this. They've got the rules of their new civilization on there about limiting the population to 500 million, creating a new world court, and a new living language. And as we start to look into language and the frequency and who created language for us, then that's a whole nother study. But what I noticed was that this structure, the Georgia Guidestones, is authored by R.C. Christian. And it says a pseudonym, which is a misspelling of pseudonym. And, you know, that's not a mistake. This is code. And so when
Rosicrucians.
Exactly. R.C. Christian is code for Christian Rosenkreutz, who is the mythical founder of the Rosicrucian order. And when you start to get deeper and deeper into Freemasonry, you find that their deepest secrets are from these Rosicrucians. So that is why in Denver capital, they have the Rosy Cross on their temple there. So they are encoding these things throughout time that we keep finding in these structures, and we'll find out what they want, and that is the death of all of us, easily, straight from their own works. This is something that you can follow back through generation after generation. There's a reason there's an obelisk in front of the Vatican, an obelisk in front of the City of London, an obelisk in Washington, D.C., these symbols of Osiris, of his phallus.
They believe they're sucking in the male energy. They're like, it's an antenna. And they throw it in our face in movies like Ghostbusters, where they say he was a crazy, eccentric man. He built the whole building as a spiritual antenna. Well, that's what they really do. That's not, you know, us getting that from Ghostbusters. That's what the elites believe.
That is what they believe.
And then you notice when it's Zool, you know, the refrigerator opens up to the other dimension. It's a woman with these big attack dogs guarding her with obelisk in front of a huge pyramid.
Exactly.
And then she's flipping down the pyramid.
Exactly. Exactly. They tell us all the time. And I believe that that is the key. I believe that that is the one thing that I've brought out from my studies is this need to usurp our free will, that we have to give our free will agreement to allow them to do this.
They have to tell us we're doing this, even if it's veiled. Well, that's the old, you see this in all the old fables in all the cultures. The vampire, and they believe, you know, they were real in Greece, had to trick you to let them in. He had to trick you to give them permission. It's like contract.
Exactly, exactly. And that's what I see. That's what I see as the main focus of what we should be working on, is not giving up our free will agreement. We cannot go into V for Vendetta and cheer. We can't say, because, yeah, they're going to show you them blowing up buildings and you know, taking down the government. But, yeah, if you read V for Vendetta from Alan Moore, who is a Freemason, a Kabbalist magician, then you'll see that it's actually the philosophies of Adam Weishaupt coupled with the magic of Aleister Crowley. This is what V for Vendetta's actual storyline is, but Hollywood coded it.
Well, look at the last Matrix. It's all about the Merovingians and all these groups. It's all Illuminati. The great architect is Lucifer.
Yes.
He's saying this has happened over and over again. Yeah.
Sean Connery was supposed to play that part, by the way.
And then also, I thought the guy they had was better. But
yeah.
The Colonel Sanders-looking guy looked pretty evil. But then also, Neo becomes Jesus at the end.
Exactly.
And is absorbed with the Illuminati. They need that. Again, the two sides.
Exactly, exactly. And they do believe in these powers of us. I mean, there is a government psychic corporation, SciTech, or right here in Austin, we've got Paul Smith with his remote viewing.
I had Stubblebine on.
Yeah, all right. So they know that we have these powers. They know that we transmit into the frequencies of reality, and this is the subtle energies that they manipulate. This is why they build giant structures like the pyramids or this Seal of Solomon to bind spirits in Nashville. They understand these subtle frequencies, and they have been manipulating this throughout time while conditioning us to believe what we should believe. And they have used all of their methods of intelligence and predictive programming to get us to fall right into line and to follow them down their path of darkness to destruction. And they also believe there is a major catastrophe coming. I mean, there is a reason they built a giant seed vault in Norway under a mountain.
Well, that's one of many.
Exactly.
Since the 40s, they admit they've been building giant underground bases. There's one hooked up out at Crawford, one out at Fort Hood. It's connected out here underneath the Hilton Hotel that was the SAC command base. How many people that have been in there? And back when it was SAC. And then all these railways, and they admit they spent trillions on it, but they just say, you can't see it, shut up.
Yeah.
We'll kill you if you try to come in here. I mean, they just run it all.
Absolutely.
Meanwhile, they're giving us cancer. Meanwhile, they're pulling all their scams, hurting us. And I want it to stop.
I do, too. And it is within our free will to do so. And all we have
to
do...
Yeah, well, I'm not acquiescing. I'm not giving myself over to them. And I tell them they're trespassing on me.
Absolutely. And that's our goal. And that's what we must do. We must stand up and we must start acting like sovereign beings. We can't sit back and just say, oh, well, somebody's going to make it better for us. We can't sit back.
Well, that's the thing. I'm getting past all fear. I mean, I always say I haven't had fear in a long time, and I haven't. But, I mean, I'm really just turning loose of everything. I mean, that means even, you know, just getting to the point where I'm worried about nothing but the truth and just that's it. I mean, forget the maneuvers. Go straight at them.
Absolutely. Like a juggernaut. Yeah, we can't falter. We can't sit back and wait and hope maybe Obama will change things. No, we can't do this. We must start changing our own mind pattern.
Oh, my God, Obama's total new world
order. Oh, God, I mean, CFR is a big new, yeah, give me a break.
And the poor left just can't see it. There's like the phony environmental movement. The globalists are destroying the environment, and so they're not going to fix any of the real problems. They're going to tax what humans exhale, and they admit that it's about controlling us. In fact, now at... Office Depot and places, they're going to make you park in the back, like making black people sit on the back of the bus if your car isn't, you know, proper with emissions. You're going to have stickers on your car in California and all over the world where it shows your emissions so everybody can hate you. All over Austin, they pop SUV tires. Now, I'm not saying SUVs are good. The point is we need to get off oil because that gives them control. But they admit the new 10-million-man Maoist Green Corps, big article up on Prison Planet. I mean, this is going to be the new earth religion, and the UN says the religion will be killing our fellow men. And then Richard N. Haas at the Club of Rome, and now CFR chairman, says the state will wage war against humanity. I mean, this is a hellish thing they're doing.
Yeah, and it's been in action for so long. I mean, I read Limits to Growth. I understood that they were programming us for this destruction. I was in 93. I was standing protest in front of Bill Clinton's White House about the takeover of public lands and turning them into parks.
When you're at the Rainbow Gathering, do they understand that the main environmental movement's totally controlled and anti-human?
Not at all. Not at all.
So they're like, we've got to, because I've talked to people, I understand the government wants to kill everyone. It's needed. I'm ready to die.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it's so wonderful. I mean, but, you know, when it gets to really dying, they're going to be squealing, fighting for their lives with that cancer they've been given. Bastards.
That's right. That's right. And there's.
Yeah, I mean, and I hear you go, well, I know we're killing the third world, but, you know, they have to die. No, no, you're going to die too, schmuck. They've already injected you and your family, and now they know you're not taking the shot, so they're putting in the water and the food and spraying us. Okay, get ready to die, folks. Your love of lies is now coming to a head. I want everybody to know that. This is the time of great death that's coming. And don't say we didn't warn you.
That's right. That's
in fact, I've been told by globalists and through other intermediaries, people that they're like, no, the reason we leave you alone is we are actually fulfilling their need to tell everyone. And they're saying, see, I've had globalists tell me, you know, oh, Mr. Jones, and people say, well, why don't I say their names? Because it's always, well, this is in confidence. If we say this, you have to promise in confidence. Of course, if it was a thing of a total obvious crime about to happen, I would say it. But then I would lose any of these sources. But it's like, look, they don't want your help. They don't care. They want to die. Look at them. And I'm like, no, you've programmed them that way, and it's wrong. And then you find out the people that you're talking to are even supposedly high up. They aren't even that high up.
Right.
I mean, this thing is really a blind system.
That's right. Everybody in it's blind.
They claim they're illuminating. They're doing the opposite.
There's no doubt about that. They are blind to their whole agenda. They don't know.
Well, they all think it's 90% that are going to be killed or 80%. When you really get into their documents, they're talking 99.9. See, they don't want to tell all their minions that. No, you're going to die too.
Yeah. Yeah. No. We just, you can see it left and right as they're starting to manipulate the weather, starting to manipulate our water, our food. I mean, good God, genetically modified foods, all of this.
And they know it's killing us. All the studies show it.
Yeah.
Cell phones. Let's take some calls for Freeman.
All right.
Amazing interview. John in Oklahoma, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hello there. Hello there, gentlemen. I appreciate all of your time. You got me on there?
Yes, sir.
Okay. This is pretty simple. 66 books in the Bible me being a man reading the Bible, man in number six, that kind of shook me up there, you know. Is that, what is your comment on that?
Well, let's look at House Resolution 33 that established Freemason Day, first one ever this year. Put it on June 24th, which, of course, is St. John's Day. But June 24th, 6, and 2 and 4 is 6, and it's House Resolution 33, which is 6. So you're back at Freemason Day being 6.
Well, from the Christian faith, the true one, everything the devil, the Lucifer, also counterfeits and expropriates. But go ahead.
Okay. That's cool. With the Septuagint or with the other books that may have been eliminated from the Bible, do you know how many books there might have been altogether if it hadn't have been?
I don't know. I know there's three or four that really were part of it they took out, but then there's a whole debate about that.
Yeah, I don't know either. I know that they're very into the Book of Enoch, and Enoch is very important to the Freemasonic order.
And they took that out, you know?
Yeah.
Or is Enoch in there, or is it taken out?
No, it's taken out, and that was the whole story of the fallen angels and Azrael coming down. Now, it's just another subtle programming when they killed off Superman and they killed off Batman back in 2000. They replaced Batman with Azrael, which is the original fallen angel that brought everybody to have sex with the humans here on Earth. And they replaced Superman with Hellspawn. So they've begun the programming, you know, this mind pattern programming again, straight through comic books as Batman.
Well, they admit they're using comic books and things to program people. Anything else, sir?
I appreciate all your endeavors, and I hope they are fruitful, and you guys have a great day.
Yeah, I'm going to have Freeman back. I don't want to wait. Time's short. I got Mark Kornke, by the way, coming on Friday for 2 hours. I want to get you back in here for 2 hours next week.
You got it.
We got a final segment coming up to jam a few final calls in. FreemanTV.com?
That's right.
FreemanTV.com. And a lot of stuff still on the FreemanPerspective.blogspot.com.
Yeah, but I got all the videos, all of the interviews, everything up on FreemanTV.com.
All right, fantastic. Our websites, of course, we need your help spreading them to people. That's how we reach more people. Every day is combat in the info war. Every day it's up to you. Infowars.com, Infowars.net, PrisonPlanet.com, JonesReport.com. Stay with us. The darkness is upon us. If we recognize it and fight against it, we can survive. If not, there's not a lot of hope. Look, I'm not into all this stuff. A lot of atheists think, well, you're crazy. You believe in all this. No. It is real whether you believe in it or not. That is, the elites believe in it, whether it's, quote, real or not. They are practicing it. Let's take some final calls for our guest, Scott in Arizona, Chris and Elliot. Scott, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. My question, I got a couple of them real quick, and one of them is that Aleister Crowley, when he was alive, I read something that he was supposed to try to bring in the Antichrist, and that he did some rituals, and they tried, and I don't know how.
Well, Aleister Crowley was more of their clown front man to kind of introduce things to people, kind of like IBM really owns Applied Digital Solutions and uses them as the front to promote the chip. That's my take on him. The guy was an incredible clown. And I mean, he murdered his kids and stuff, and they thought that was, you know, kind of cool, the higher ups. But you want to comment on him?
Oh, what to say about old Uncle Aleister? Absolutely, this man was a major influence for the 20th century. He every rock and roll group, everything that we see, and many are following Aleister Crowley. You know, you've got the Rolling Stones, the Beatles, David Bowie. You know, the list goes on and on about people that were following Aleister Crowley into these pits of despair, and he did call himself the Beast 666.
Yeah, but my point is that there were a lot more evil people behind him. This wasn't the Grand Poobah.
No. Yeah, I agree with you.
He was somebody they just let run around. And by the end of it, he was a chicken-necked, old, pathetic drug addict.
Right.
That's what the evil gave him, was weakness. Weak! Okay, anything else?
Yes, real quick on this one, too. I was reading some stuff on the Knights of Malta, and they said in there that they believed that the Masons were used to do their dirty work, but at the end that they would destroy them like, you know, the Protestants, and they kind of, you know, they put that in their order.
Look, it's all run by the same people. You've got folks that are obsessed with one group or the other. You got Protestant groups that say it's all the Catholics. You got Catholic groups that say it's all the Protestants. It's all the same group, and they want to get you limited into obsessing on one group, Jews or this or that. When you get to the bottom line, it's all the same group. And people say, oh, well, you're covering up for them. No, all of these groups are evil. I mean, it's simple. And then the debate's over and you can move on. They want you to get caught up in sectarianism, divide and conquer. It's free humanity against the illuminated ones who are not illuminated. They're in the black sunshine of hell. You want to comment on that? Do you agree with that statement, Freeman?
Yeah, I completely agree with you there, Alex. Yeah, you can't get focused on one group or the other because, yeah, it's different arms of the same beast.
And then you're playing into their trick. No doubt, Vatican's calling for world government. There's no doubt what it is. Anything else? Yeah, the reason a lot of people that, say it's this group or that group are just so vicious and crazy and liars and put out so much disinfo. You know, the Jews did it group are totally unsavory. The Catholics run it all group are just out of their minds and make stuff up and lie about everybody. So I know I don't have a lot of respect for them. And then I come out and criticize the Vatican. See, that isn't good enough for them.
Right.
I've got to bow down to their leaders and their lies. And I mean, if I was really thinking it was the Vatican, I would think the Vatican run it all crowd worked for them to make it look stupid and ridiculous. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, absolutely.
We're out of time. I don't have time to get to Chris and Elliot. We're just out of time with Freeman. And Freeman, let's go back there with Trey and get you set up for 2 hours next week because I want to really fully introduce you to the audience and all the fine work you're doing. Thanks for coming in.
Hey, thank you, Alex. It's been great.
You bet. Folks, retransmission starts now at Infowars.com. Any of the big guests. I had multiple economists on today about what's happening to the economy. Covered a lot of other news. There's a lot I didn't get to. The news is totally revealing. On Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com, and both sites have different news on them every day. They have a lot of the same news, but a lot more than it used to be. I mean, there might be 40 stories or 20 stories on a site or 10 that aren't on the other. Just wild stuff we didn't have time to cover. Cover it all tomorrow. God bless you all. Retransmission starts now on the internet at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. It'll play back to back until we're live back tomorrow at 11 a.m.